Welcome to the Avengers Podcast, where we assemble weekly to binge the MCU and all things nerd, old and new. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, X, Threads, TikTok, at Avengers Podcast, Twitch, Avengers Podcast, AvengersPodcast. Ah, that sounds kind of good. I might do that a little bit more. Avengers Podcast. You can check us out all over the internet. And we also have a YouTube. You want to see the video version of the show? YouTube.com/TheAvengers. See our beautiful faces. Or as someone left us a comment, it's still so weird seeing what you guys really look like. Thank you so much. Oh, we're going to head to our lovely co-host. I'm just one of your hosts, Brandon. Emmy, how you doing?
First things first, I'm the illest.
Emmy's a little under the weather. I hope you feel better. I'm so sorry.
No, I am ill as fuck, dude.
Okay.
That's very I'm sick.
That's pretty sick.
Keith, bro,
how you doing? Get us out of here.
Second thing second, I'm Keith.
Wow. You know, that was a choice, Keith. I like it, though. You know, second thing second. Guys,
sometimes the choices made at the last minute are the best kind.
You know who's not second, guys? We have new patrons. We have two new patrons. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Shout out to Sean Morales and Sarah Gonzalez. Guys, Sean, Sarah, you guys are awesome.
Thank you.
Appreciate you joining the patronage. If you want to join the patron and get a shout out, $1. It'll get you everything you want. Access to our Discord, bonus episodes, and a shout out. It's $1. $1. Literally. $1 a month. Yeah, patreon.com/AvengersPodcast. Sarah Gonzalez and Sean Morales know what's up. Do you?
Man, thank you guys so much. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Yo, bebo leche.
Yeah.
Don't cuss at them. You don't. That's rude.
I didn't cuss, pendejo. Oh,
she offered them cake.
I said I drink milk.
I was close.
Cake, milk. Milk is in some cakes. So
Cake is the best kind. Postre.
Have you ever had postre? Milk cake or is it milk?
Trace Leches is milk cake.
Nice. Okay.
Delicious. Oh God. Have you guys ever had Trace Leches?
No.
Oh, it is. Oh, it's so good.
Man, I think you just.
I thought it was a wrap.
Made it clean up. I mean, you just had a moment. You're like, oh.
Yeah, I did. it's really good.
Hey, it's okay. You know, some of us, we have our moments over Trace Noches.
Trace Leches. Trace Noches. Buenos Leches.
Good milk. And to you as well.
So in high school, I was on Tech Path, which basically was like, hey, you don't have to be as smart as the other kids. But it was really more for engineers and people that were into computer techs. And we would, you know, I was on that path and we didn't have to take a foreign language. So damn, I suck when it comes to anything foreign language. I still a big regret. I wish I would have taken it. Because Emmy,
well, your foreign language is technology, right? That's what they're saying.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But Emmy speaks such fluent Spanish now. It really bothers me that I never applied myself.
I took 4 years in high school, 2 years in high school and 2 years in college, maybe 3 years in college.
Oh, wow.
And I this is where I'm at, guys. So the American education system is truly a wonder.
It's the illest. That's for sure.
That is
languages
true.
Are not easy. I've been studying Hooked on Klingon for a while.
Hooked on Klingon. Yeah,
all I can do is hork more efficiently into the sink.
Nice. I like that.
All I'm in.
How do you hork? What is hork?
What is hork?
Yeah.
Oh, you remember we were talking about loogies earlier?
Ah, yes. Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah. All right.
To hork is the vehicle for a loogie.
We're going to change gears and we're going to talk about the state of the MCU. Just a blanket warning here. No, we're not warning you against blankets, but we are warning you that we may delve into spoilers because we're going to be talking about the broad subject of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. In particular, we're going to focus more on the Phase 4 and 5 projects, but there will be some call-outs probably of Phase 1, 2, and 3 of the Infinity Saga. So if you have not watched everything and anything, I can't promise you we're not going to spoil it. We'll try to give warning before we do, probably not guaranteed though. So if you guys are not caught up on the Marvel Cinematic Universe and hey, I really want to watch this one project and I don't want to spoil it for you, we should give you time, hopefully, but just a warning, just a spoiler safety warning. You know, I don't think we'll be that horrible about it, but just in case you want to pause and resume at another time, here's your opportunity just to head on out the door. But the door's open and ready for you whenever you want to come back. So anyway, love you. Bye.
We invite you to leave, but we'll hope you stay.
Yes, exactly. All right. Now that you're here, now that that fucking weirdo's gone, am I right? All right. So,
sorry guys, I'll leave.
Yeah. So, we got rid of the weird ones. All right. It's just the cool people left. Hey guys. Yeah. Glad you're sitting with us. So I brought this topic over to Keith and Emmy, honestly, probably a couple of weeks back, 2 or 3 weeks, and they had to listen to me like send like 5-minute messages at a time with all my thoughts about this shit. So I apologize, guys, but it really is something I'm seeing all over YouTube primarily, where I was going to say prominently and primarily, and it just kind of went into
prominent.
Yeah, it was weird.
That's anyway, fine. Yeah. Hybrid words are cool.
I like hybrid.
Yeah, that sounds like a airline.
Ooh.
I flew on Primonair.
That does sound really official. So I really wanted to kind of broach the subject with, you know, the three of us, because I really think it would be, I think it's a good time to talk about it, really. I do. Because I think for the majority of us, we've been watching the Marvel Cinematic Universe since 2008, since I Am Iron Man. And we are in 2023. And we are higher, further, faster with the Marvels and everything in between. And we've seen so many amazing moments, and we've seen so many different conflicting moments, especially in these phases four and five. And I really wanted to just kind of open up a conversation of the state of the MCU. The reason why is the Disney Plus series, the watch count has gotten lower. It seems like they're it's not holding as much. In addition to the Marvels, just quite frankly, $197 million is a wonderful, wonderful box office haul for almost every studio. But it's not a good haul for Marvel Studios. It is, and I don't mean that to be, the Marvels is terrible because they didn't make a lot of money. That's not true. We all three enjoyed the Marvels. Our review stands. We really, really liked it. However, the bottom line, and that's not Stone Cold Steve Austin, and that's the bottom line. It's really, the bottom line means a lot to the people that are greenlighting these projects, that are funding, hey, we're going to do this now, or hey, Kevin Feige, make whatever you want to make. And seeing these numbers continue to go down and this interest kind of wane with a lot of people and a lot of general audiences, you got the diehards that are going to stick around. The Emmys and the Brandons and the Keiths are going to continue to watch. But it's the casual that will make it what it is. I mean, golly, didn't Captain Marvel rake in over $1 billion? I think over $1 billion. I think she did worldwide. Yeah.
Really?
Really.
Yeah, damn, no, she's, girl, do your fucking thing.
I want to say she's in the top 10 for superhero movies in general, box office numbers. Yeah.
Yeah.
Crazy, hell yeah.
Crazy good.
Higher, yeah. Further, faster, baby.
Fucking A.
I mean, $1.13 billion is what Captain Marvel got at the worldwide box office. And the Marvel's worldwide box office currently is $197 million. That's the thing here, a huge drop from from 2000, what I think the Captain Marvel was 2018, I think. I'm pretty sure it was 2018. And obviously 2023, it's been 5 years. It's been the snap. Half the universe is gone and they're not going to the movies anymore. I don't know, it's just okay, I've said enough. I'm going to throw it to you, Keith. For casual audiences, do you feel that Marvel fatigue is a real thing? Is it something you've experienced? And kind of just really touch base on, you know, the state of the MCU for you. I know that's a loaded questions there, but just wanted to kind of open it up.
Well, first off, Brandon, I think that it's very brave of you to share that you hate Marvel now. But nextly, no, I'm just kidding.
Honestly, I'm so glad I can say it. I'm so glad. Fuck finally. Marvel Studios. I can finally say it. Oh, it feels so good. I've been lying this whole time, guys.
I think that there's definitely a lot to be said for the fact that the money isn't there like it was. I think there's several factors at play here, and factors beyond the type of things that you see online with the backlash and hatred for, you know, just the diversity of Marvel, or the, you know, the fact that these are three strong women leads. Like, I don't think that's nearly the squeaky that's the squeaky wheel kind of scenario. That's people being loud online with bad intentions, and they're not the majority. I think the real majorities come down to the fact that the actors were not allowed to promote this movie really that much before it came out. They weren't allowed to tour and do their normal press junkets. I think that COVID is always, since COVID, is always on the rise in the winter months as you go from summer to winter. I think that people get a little bit antsy there. And in general, the... The hype isn't what it used to be. Have I experienced Marvel fatigue, superhero fatigue? Yes, in ebbs and flows. Yes, I've experienced that. I've also experienced lows and highs, and me representing one of the things that got me back into the Marvel good graces and loving it again is how good Loki was. Mm-hmm. And then I loved the Marvels as well. Like, this shit has taken a bit of a backseat in my life as far as, you know, the urgency of going out and seeing a Marvel project or rushing to see it. But I think that it's a regular thing. I think it's not COVID in general, and its effect on movie viewing has definitely been undersold in this way, like an unprecedented amount of effect that it had on just seeing a movie in theaters in general. But I think there's a lot of factors at play here. I think they can get back. I think that the quality over quantity thing that we've been hearing over and over again, so much that I still haven't memorized it, apparently, quality over quantity, is important, and it just needs to take time. And have you heard about anything more than Deadpool 3 in the last while? Because it's the only fucking thing that's coming out in theaters from MCU next year. Like, that's it. That's all it takes, is focus on one thing and less oversaturation. So, you know, I'm kind of the baby bear in this scenario, I feel. You might want to play the devil's advocate. I think it will just be about let it play through, let it take its time to come back on top. And I think that they have the right people behind the projects creatively to get there again. So,
Emmy, what's your thoughts on the MCU and how much it's dragged down? I'm totally joking. There are people like that. Please, no, we're not that. I'm totally kidding. No, what's your thought on the MCU? Because I think, to be very frank, I think 95% of the projects, if not more, it's hard to find one that Emmy doesn't like. I think she is just able to see, like, even when there was detractors on our podcast, like Quantumania or Thor Love and Thunder, no matter what, Emmy's like, fuck yeah, this is good. This is good shit. Daddy Feige, feed me more. And so I'm just curious, kind of your overall picture of Marvel Studios right now.
Well, when you pitched this, I was like, yeah, let's do this. But I was like, oh, I'm going to be like I just trust the process person. Like, I don't have very much more to say than that. Like, I feel like phases 1 through 3, you had your hits, you had your misses. And then this is, I feel like, the same thing after Endgame. They really, I think, were swinging for the fences. They had their Moon Knights. They had their Werewolf by Nights. They had their, like, places where they did really well and swung for way farther than, like, we've seen them go before.
Yeah.
But then we also saw them swing for some misses, like your Quantumanias, your Multiverse of Madness. Listen, I'm still not completely sure what I Am Groot is. It's adorable. And that's all I'll say about that. Is it consequential? Absolutely not. But like, overall, I feel like Marvel's in a place, and this is what I would say about their state right now, is that they're in a place where they are trying to figure out what works for fans, what works for directors, what works for everybody. And yeah, they haven't gotten it right 100% of the time. But for the most part, I've had a great time. I've like thinking of like Shang-Chi, The Marvels, No Way Home, Loki, like those are so fantastically told stories that I've really enjoyed that have been so complete. And yes, they've had some like I loved Thor Love and Thunder and fuck you guys, but like I see its flaws after talking to everybody. I see its flaws, but like I just, even those movies that I know have flaws, they're still just fun for me. And so I guess my thing is just to trust the process. I believe in Marvel, and even though they have some missteps, I think that they can get back on track to the right amount of storytelling. I do think that during COVID, it was like they had all these ideas and they had all these things that had like filmed, and then they were kind of like allowed to resume filming. And so they had all these projects that were in the works and they were ready to put out, and they just kind of were like, here's everything. And everybody was like, that's too much.
Yeah.
So I think that maybe them taking a little bit of a step back and like you said, just focusing on the one movie, we're going to get Echo. We're going to get X-Men 97.
Should be. Yeah.
I think. Yeah. 2024.
Maybe next year. Yes, yeah.
It's supposed to be next
year. We're going to get some cool shows, some shows that I'm very excited for, along with Deadpool 3. But just kind of like stepping back and focusing on that one movie, I think would be really helpful for them.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm excited.
So there's a quote I'm going to read from Iman Vellani, who plays Ms. Marvel in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, which I really love this quote. I read it. I found it on Twitter, X, whatever the fuck you want to call it. But it was,
you know,
Twitter.
She's Canadian.
We're going to call it Twitter.
Okay. Yeah, let's just keep going.
We'll call it
Twitter. Because that X is stupid.
It's a stupid thing. Plus, there's X-Men. It's too much confusion.
Yeah.
Yes.
So when you post men on X, is it X-Men? Is everything X-Men? And when you post a video, is it X video? That's weird. Anyway, I don't...
the way the women keep saving people all the time, we should be calling an X-Women. That was an actual line from the Dark Phoenix movie. Jennifer Lawrence says that in the Dark Phoenix
movie. I'm so glad.
I forgot about that.
I never saw that movie. I never saw Dark Phoenix. So Iman Vellani said, how can the MCU regain in-game level hype? And she said, I don't know if it's about just getting bigger and bigger and bigger, because then, like, what's left? I think it's just about making the audience care about their characters. This is something we retweeted. I know, Keith, I saw you jump in there and, like, yes! I mean, like, Iman gets it. I think that was our retweet. And it really, here's the thing. When I think about what made the Infinity Saga to me so successful, is it just felt like we were flipping through, like we were reading a full comic, and then there was like the last page on the back of the comic book was like, hey, the next issue, you should check it out because this is what it has. And it was really, really strong. Like, I always think back to phase one where, you know, at the end of Iron Man 2, I'm seeing this hammer in the desert, you know, and, you know, just like, oh, Thor's coming up. And everyone, I remember in the theater, everyone lost their shit.
Yeah.
God, I mean.
Sorry, what movie?
I really, for a second, I was like, oh, she's an asshole. So, yes, Iron Man 2. I remember.
It was Iron Man Duh.
Iron Man, duh. But I remember, like, everyone, oh, shit, Thor's coming out, you know? And it was so, like, they're going to make a fucking Thor movie? Oh, shit, they're going to make a Captain America movie? At the end of Captain America, we see him punching a punching bag, and Nick Fury's like, I have a mission. And it's like, oh, fuck, the Avengers are here. And it just felt like it was constant. And now, where I think, especially kind of focusing on that character bit, there's been so many open-ended strings that are not fully... I mean, the end of Shang-Chi. Where do they go in the portal? What happens? We have no idea. Yeah. It has been years now. Years since they've stepped through there, and we have no idea what's happening with Shang-Chi. It is not in... Hey, I know instant gratification. Hey, I get it. But It's that open-endedness. What the fuck happened at the end of Multiverse of Madness? What the hell is Charlize Theron doing here? We don't know. Oh, there's a dwarf.
I think that goes into the Fast and Furious.
Family. Dom Toretto. Yeah. Family. Yeah.
He's going over there now.
I like it.
Is Pizza Ball guy, is he okay?
Right.
I need to know.
Another thing. There is this dwarf character and Harry Styles at the end of Eternals. What the fuck?
That's okay. I think you've stumbled on a bit here that I can kind of like.
Yeah.
I agree with you. Like, what are they doing? Mm-hmm. They're setting up a whole bunch of stuff that you said years on Shang-Chi, and Shang-Chi came out in September 2021.
Mm-hmm. It's been years,
right?
Years.
So it has been years.
2.5 years, and like, almost.
We saw Brie Larson as Captain Marvel
mm-hmm.
in a movie. No explanation. Like, it is. Yeah, I think that I see them now. Like, I saw Harry Styles at the end of Eternals. Spoiler alert, sorry.
Yeah, there he is. Told you we'd spoil.
We've already turned that one weirdo away. He's gone. That weirdo left.
Thank God they're gone.
Oh good.
Yeah, they're so weird. Ugh.
And the dwarf was Patton Oswalt.
It was. Wasn't it? It was.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think I saw them, and I was like, cool, I'll see them in, 2030. When they come back, like,
you get used to it after a while, you're like,
it's gotten to a point where, like, my brain's just in Charlize Theron. It's like, okay, yeah, we'll see her in 2031, maybe.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry to interrupt you, Amy, but yeah, that's what I mean. Like, your brain's already geared towards, okay, it's going to be a long time. So then where's the investment? You know, like, mm-hmm. where's the excitement even? Like, when is this going to, it kind of just, as soon as it even amps up, it dissipates pretty quick because you don't have that, in 6 months, this is coming out now, or in a year, this is dropping. Like, we've still 2.5 years without one Shang-Chi reference in the MCU. Like, what? That was a big deal for a character we really love. I don't know.
Yeah.
So.
This leads to a question I have for both of you.
Yeah.
You ready for this shit?
Ready for it.
Always.
Groundbreaking question.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This kind of has to do with the whole, Emmy, you said, I am Groot. Is it consequential? Does it need to be? Mm-hmm. And so, like, I agree. Phase 4 and 5 has been all about diversification.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. I want that. I'm excited by that. But the connection of everything, do we need it to be as connected as it was the first time around? It was really exciting to see the biggest, what was growing to be the biggest movie franchise of all time to connect everything so seamlessly. Oh my goodness. Like, how did they do it? And now we're used to that. Is that something that we need going forward? Or would you rather to see things separate and things breathe with like the cosmic genre, the mythical stuff, the street level stuff, and just let things separate a little bit? Which way would you want to go if you like, that's my question to you guys.
So
I've got an answer if you need, go ahead.
Go for it, Amy. Go for it.
I was going to say, I don't need it all to be connected to each other. I think it's really cool how the Infinity Saga did that and seeing that moment in Infinity War and then again in Endgame where they all came together and fought the big bad. I thought that was amazing. I still tear up at that scene in Endgame where everybody's fighting. And Avengers Assemble, like that
it's
is
dope.
It's dope, exactly. Dope as fuck. But
AF,
my bad. Sorry for the kids, bruv. but I would be like, although I think that that's what my heart wants because that's what it's conditioned to want.
Mm-hmm.
I would be okay if it's just connected to itself. So, like, the Eternals, I would like to see them again. And if they stay self-contained and Charlize Theron... No, Harry Styles.
See?
I get them confused, too. They're both so pretty.
They're both pretty. That's But no, that's the point.
My bisexuality flag goes off. It's like...
Yeah. Yeah. But, like, if they introduce that and, like, and they give us Jon Snow...
Where the fuck is Kit he?
Harington.
Where the fuck
Black
is he?
Black Knight.
Yes.
Yes.
Better Black fucking Knight. Be in Blade. We'll talk about it later.
Yeah. We're not going to get that next year. We know that. So, that's going to be another year away. But as long as it connects with itself, I would be okay with that. Or awesome. Like, so we spoilers for the Marvels. If you haven't seen the Marvels,
mm-hmm.
So we just kind of got the X-Men. Like, even if there's an X-Men movie that only connects it to like that alternate universe and just that's connect
more I,
like,
than enough.
I'm fine with it. I'm absolutely fine with it. But they don't all have to connect.
Yeah.
But they have to connect to something somewhere. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, to throw back to WandaVision, like in the way it was like old sitcoms. The MCU has got some splaining to do. Everybody loves Lucy reference. Oh, just explain away each self-contained
Marvel
thing.
You got some splaining to do.
There we go. That's the thing I was avoiding. But that's
there's my Desi Arnaz impression.
That's
you're welcome.
Really good.
Oh, I used to watch I Love Lucy all the fucking time. Yeah, anyway. God, great show. Well, it's dated though. There's some dated elements, I'll tell you. You watch it,
yes,
you're like,
I sure
bet.
But man,
what are we, like 100 years
one of my
ago?
Favorite comedians of all time, Lucille Ball. She is fucking fantastic. God, if you have not watched her, she is a masterclass in comedy. Oh, love her.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry.
No, I was done. Brandon, I'll let you answer Keith's question.
Yeah, Keith, fuck off. Eat shit. No, just joking. No, I watched.
Wait, did I ask whether or not I should eat shit? I remember that question.
I watched a Pete Holmes interview, and he just kept saying to the host, "Eat shit," and it just made me laugh every time. He's like, "Eat shit!" Like, and he was so fucking funny about it. I love Pete Holmes. Anyway, no, to answer your question truthfully, is I think for the multiverse saga, you have to finish it connected. You know, I think you at this point, it can't be a drop off. It can't.
I agree.
You know, and I think it's funny, you're already starting to see them step into what Emmy was talking about, not just connected with themselves within themselves, but also connected within maybe a separate universe entirely, or just a separate subsection. And I'm talking about Echo, the Marvel Spotlight series, which to me, Spotlight is a fucking confusing way to say not in the MCU. I don't like that. I think that needs to be a little clearer. Emmy, did you even know that?
No. So this is like Daredevil.
No, just the Echo so far. Just Echo. Just Echo is the spotlight.
It means she's not connected
like
to the
bigger...
Yeah.
I don't like the idea that it does not have to be in the MCU. It just doesn't have to be in the multiverse thing. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't have to tie into that. It can exist in the same universe. It just doesn't have to.
We just saw her introduced in Hawkeye. How does it make
which
sense?
Which was in the MCU.
Correct. Yeah. It's confusing. And so I think Marvel...
Yeah, I'm very confused by that.
You should be. And I completely agree with you. I'm the exact same way. Like, 100% with you. Like, that's where I'm... So here's the thing. Finish out this multiverse saga, wherever it lands. And there's been some hits and misses along the way. But you, at this point, you've dug your heels in. Yeah, 100% connect it. As muddy as it's going to be, let's finish at least the saga out. I don't think you can turn from it now, but I do think, to Amy's point, I think the greater MCU is multiple universes, you know, like, hey, in the comics, there's multiple universes. Maybe you even have like in the bottom of a trailer, or like, you know, hey, universe, you know, or Earth 616 or this, and there's so many different little variables that can kind of tie it to what story we're following. Oh, this is this comic that I'm reading, or this is a standalone comic, you know, like they need to make it way more clear. Emmy, I cracked you up somehow. I think what is, sorry,
you said in the bottom of a trailer, and I thought you meant like a trailer home. And so I thought you were about to introduce some superhero who
raccoons
lived underneath a trailer.
Trailer man. But
sorry.
No, it's all good.
Guardians 3.
Yeah, there it is. There it is. But I just think, I think they need a clear distinction between projects. They need a clear distinction between narratives. I mean, there's nothing wrong with having, if people can read comic books and they know, hey, this is this run and this, they need to find a way to do that cinematically as well. And I think that will really serve them well. Right now, I don't know if they have that plan, or they said they had plans up until 2030 or something ridiculous. Like, that was
when Charlize Theron comes out, I'm telling you.
Yeah, Charlize Theron, the movie. It's the MCU. It's just a story about Charlize Theron. Yeah. She is a wonderful actress. I love her. It's just one of those things where I do finish the multiverse saga out, but revamp the MCU after this. I think, you know, and there can be For example, there could be a linear story that you're telling with a collection. The Infinity Saga could be its own branch in the whole thing, you know, like we're going to continue this saga, and oh, the Multiverse Saga continues on with this side, you know, and it can kind of just kind of branch from there. I think that can work. I really, really do. And hey, it's the X-Men universe. And what if you have this comic book run of all these X-Men and this comic book of all these Avengers and then the crossover, and there's the one crossover and it feels big. Oh my God, these two universes are colliding. Then it feels in-game level as well, but it feels organic because you're telling just these stories and then they cross over for a greater good or a greater bad. I think that could really, really work. So yeah, it's a kind of a longer way of saying what Emmy said, because I really like Emmy's point where she said, I just think they need to be connected within themselves. Yeah, but also maybe not just the Guardians 1, 2, 3 connected, but the overall narrative connected as well. And hey, this is going to be a 5-movie run with this comic book.
Yeah.
You know, this is going to be a 4 Disney Plus series run and movie that concludes with a movie for this run. I know that gets a little confusing probably for a general audience. But it's, I mean, we had Sony making their own movies, Fox making their own movies, and Marvel making their own movies at one point as well. I think you can have those distinct differences. And as long as you clearly outline it, so general audiences can follow along and understand. And for some general audiences, I don't give a shit what fucking saga it's a part of. It's a damn superhero movie. Fuck yeah, I'm going to go see it. That's fine. That's great too. But, you know, I think that's ultimately what's going to solve and help this underlying kind of fatigue a little bit too. So
I feel like,
sorry, you go.
Oh no, you go.
You first.
I'm going to completely derail the subject.
Oh God. Emmy. Okay. Keith, go.
Okay. I better go first.
Please, then. Keith.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. I love both your answers. I think that there is a in between answer to that like they, what I loved most, one of the things I loved most about the Marvels movie was that you noticed it wasn't called Captain Marvel 2 or Captain Marvel blah, blah, blah subtitle.
Yeah.
Like these unexpected team ups. But mind you, the Marvels was not the most unexpected team up when you have Miss Marvel talking about her icon, whatever. But like Thor and Hulk in Ragnarok teaming up, which was fantastic. Doctor Strange and Spidey. In No Way Home, a unexpected duo. Like, it's just these things that I would love to see, those kind of things that feels like the comics in these self-contained stories, but like just pair up a couple people. You don't have to have every single character on the screen or every player on the board for it to be this big climactic end to something. Just tell a good story that has to do with a couple at a time, that gives them all time to breathe, that gives them all time to feel justified for being there, and you don't have to repeat the same thing that you got in Endgame, because that's going to be a hard thing to redo. I really don't think that should be the goal. Oh, let's do another Endgame.
Right.
You'll never bigger and better. Bigger, it doesn't always mean better.
Right.
And to have the thing that beats how good the Infinity Saga was, the focus shouldn't be on a bigger spectacle. It should be on
better story.
You know, stretch your creative muscles in different directions, whether it be going deeper into somebody's backstory, whether it be going a completely different creative direction than just bigger spectacle. And you might have something great there. If I don't see Black Knight in the Blade movie, I'm going to be really pissed off. And if there isn't another knight in it, maybe I'll be pissed off even more so. But I think that you could have like a side story of going on with that. But anyways, smaller team ups is all I'm trying to say.
No.
Well, that was okay. So that kind of leads into my point, because I feel like they're kind of, I wouldn't say shooting themselves in the foot completely, but like they are setting expectations to a certain point when they release, like, here's our plans. Like on Disney Plus Day, is it Disney Plus Day or just Disney Day? Whenever they're like, here's our release dates for the next.
Is that D20 or something like that?
D20. Like, yeah.
Anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're like, so we expect, like, you expect that Black Knight is going to be in Blade, and we have these like hints at these characters and these end credit scenes, and so we're like, oh well, this person can fit here and this person can fit here and this person can fit here, and so we expect to see them, and so it's a fucking letdown when we don't see them.
Yeah, well said.
Yeah, if we don't see them. Sometimes they come through.
So I'm going to get to, because we asked, you know, some of our listeners as well, the state of the MCU, and we heard from quite a few of you. Our patrons contributed to this show as well. So, guys, if you want, we do ask feedback regularly. Anytime we review a new MCU project, we reach out to our patrons, and every once in a while we do shows where, hey, we just want some of your input as well. Patreon.com/Avengers Podcast. Join for $1, leave a comment, and be featured on the show.
Coolest community ever.
Oh.
Ever.
In a very positive community. I will just say that.
That's because I looked through some of the comments today because I was afraid. I feel bad piling shit on the MCU.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, I don't know that I want to.
I don't think it's piling shit, just more critical, you know, how.
Holding them accountable.
Yeah, holding them accountable, because the better they do, the better content we get. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's ultimately is to serve everyone. And so
I
don't want it to ever seem like we're shitting on the MCU. We're just more like, hey, how can this get better? You know, that's it. So,
and I applaud our, because I did kind of look through the comments a little bit today, and I applaud our community is
just
we're very positive, and I'm really proud of us.
A wonderful,
I'm proud of y'all.
Yeah.
Well, here is our first listener, Monty Hill. Monty, thank you so much. I haven't read these, so I'm reading these live on the air for the first time. So just. I apologize. As a young boy, I dreamed of the day when I would see the X-Men and Avengers come to life in movies. I still get excited when I hear the Marvel theme. I understand that there has been a decline in revenue and maybe even content, but the MCU is far from dead. There is so much more story to tell. I feel like there is a decline in movie going since COVID. No one was really saying this when Thor: The Dark World hit theaters. I think that they are taking a needed break so that the fans can chill, LOL. I'm a huge critic of the movies, and Marvel has put out a few back-to-back duds recently, the Marvels not included. But that doesn't mean that's the end of the stories coming to the big screen. Marvel fans, keep hope alive. Like that. Man. Good stuff, Monty. And I think Monty really hit something there, like the decline of the MCU, because I'll be perfectly frank. Iron Man 3, no, I'm perfectly Brandon. Iron Man 3 and Thor: The Dark World, I was just so disappointed back to back after coming off of Avengers. You know what I mean? And I apologize. And I just me personally, Avengers was that in-game moment for me. For a moment. Obviously, it was the in-game moment for all of us. Because I remember even they talked about it going in. They put it on the DVDs. Like, this is the first time we're having a superhero team up with all of these individual movies. And so I really, really thought it was so cool to see all these big characters on the big screen. How could it get any better, bigger than this? And then it went down to Iron Man 3 and Thor: The Dark World. And I'm like, eh. Okay. And the reason why Iron Man 3 disappointed me so much, and the more I look back at it, actually, I don't hate that movie now, but when I saw it, the trailer, what I saw in the trailer was very different than what the movie was. And I felt, I did not like that. I thought it was a bait and switch.
Bamboozled.
I did. I understand. Oh, that's genius. I see what they did there. To me, I was like, I didn't feel like I got the movie that I was promised when I saw it in previews. Mm-hmm. That's like literally seeing like, you know, I don't know. It was just, once again, and Mandarin was a big comic book villain that I was really into. I really enjoyed that series. And I really thought, Ben Kingsley, this is a really cool take on the Mandarin. How is this? This is interesting. He's brooding. And then he just was Trevor Slattery, which ended up loving him in Shang-Chi. And I loved, you know, I thought they redeemed it.
Redemption arc.
But I really, once again, here's the trailer. Watch the trailer for Iron Man 3 and then watch the movie. It's vastly different. Thor: The Dark World, I just think, was one of the lower quality films of the entire Infinity Saga. And so for me, that was kind of that, oh, is Marvel... I had that a little brief moment there, you know, and it was so early on in Infinity Saga, what ended up happening. You know, and that was in the middle of Phase 2. Well, actually, the beginning of Phase 2. And we're kind of in the middle-ish Phase 5, you know? So it kind of feels there's just like, okay, are we here yet? And I know... Well, there's been more projects that are duds. Well, there's been more projects, period. You know, and so it kind of just feels that same way in a weird way. So I really like that he said, no one said this when Thor: The Dark World came out. No, really. I mean, I felt it a little bit, but I don't think I was, you couldn't keep me away from Captain America: The Winter Soldier. Couldn't keep me away from Guardians 3. And we kept seeing them. And we just kept, as Emmy said, trusting the process. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That was really good, Monty. I appreciate that comment. Anything to add, Emmy?
Oh, I would just say as well, mm-hmm. I'm sorry. I'm just going to say inflation sucks. All right. Yep. I used to buy Lean Cuisines for my lunch every day, and I wouldn't buy them unless if they were under $3. I used to be able to get them for $2.80. And now I can't find them on sale for less than $3.40, which, I mean, that's a big change.
Yeah.
And so, like, I have friends that are like, I'll be like, oh, do
Amy,
you want to go
Amy,
see the new?
Amy, Marvel. This is not the state of Lean Cuisines. I told you.
I'm very convinced that she's going to bring this back. I have faith.
No, Keith.
Thank you for having faith.
No,
I've got it.
No, I'm not trusting the process here because Amy has always wanted to make this a Lean Cuisine podcast, and I'm done with it, Amy. Quit trying to take it there. We're done.
Till you hear my Michelina's quote.
No, I will say the same fucking Lean Cuisine every single day, and people make fun of me for it, and I don't care. I eat the chicken enchilada suiza every single day. Anyway, sound off in the comments below if you are also a creature of habit.
If this podcast blows up on YouTube and we get like thousands of views and there's just all this Lean Cuisine comments. Oh shit, son, Lean Cuisine. Like it just takes over.
Yeah.
I'll start reviewing their mango chicken or whatever.
Happily be sponsored by Lean Cuisine.
Yeah.
But anyway, what I was trying to say is I have friends who are like, I can't afford to go see a $20 movie like me and my partner. And so it ends up costing $40. Plus you have to get the popcorn. So that's 50. I mean, like movies cost a lot of money. Going to see a movie is not cheap. Unless if you go to the Redneck Theater near me.
Yeah.
Which I highly recommend. Poppy sends his best.
Hey, Poppy.
Poppy, help me. You're eating me. Oh, no.
Oh, Tim Bub, the maker of the Abingerita. Oh, Keith, did you have something to add?
No.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
The Abingtina. Antini.
He's done the Abingerita as well.
Oh, it was both of them?
Abingerita was the first.
Okay, yes. Okay, sorry. Okay,
sorry. Keith, you wanted to add something. I'm so sorry.
I was just going to say that to Monty Hill's points, I'm glad that he brought up Dark World. I think that phase one and phase two have their, obviously they're, I think a majority of them were like financial hits, but they weren't all like critical hits. And like you said, Thor the Dark World, Iron Man 3, which I actually really enjoyed Iron Man 3, but we'll get into that another day. Let's face off another time. Well, yeah, let's middle finger nose about it some other time.
I was scratching my nose. God.
Shane Black is a fantastic writer. No. I think that again, like COVID played a bigger part than people can even realize. We're forgetting about it so quickly, and it's like, no, that's something that stopped people from doing anything publicly or in big groups. Mm-hmm. And that's how these movies are best enjoyed. So the biggest cinematic franchise of all time is not immune to that. They're going to take their hits. And I think as Emmy said before, they released a shit ton of stuff afterwards because they were like, oh, we don't want to lose anybody in this interest. Mm-hmm. And so they just released way too much because it bottlenecked and they had so many things. Like they're releasing the fact that they're telling us 3-4 years out what they're planning. It's like they don't know how things are going to go yet. You got to pace yourself. Got to start thinking about what could change in the meantime. I'm not saying another pandemic, but like just what people's tastes might change.
Yeah.
Like that's good. Or there might be another wrench in the gears. So
like one of their actors that they've kind of like hinged the next 5 years on is oopsie doo, not a great dude.
Everyone knew that Josh Brolin was going to be fantastic forever and a good person forever. It's because he was a Goonie. Goonies never say die. So that guy playing Thanos, that was a safe bet.
And really, let's be realistic. It was like two movies that he really had to play Thanos. You know, it's not like he was like, we're going to be.
could have been anybody.
Yeah, really. I mean, really.
That's true.
So.
But no, I love that Monty Hill is a big Avengers and X-Men fan. And I would love to see. I think that X-Men, the fact that MCU now has X-Men and the fact that they've teased them and stoked the fire.
We'll see it in 10 years.
They potentially have some of the best things ahead of them. I truly believe that if it's handled with the right care and the right patience, they have some amazing projects ahead of them if they handle the X-Men correctly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. I think X-Men Fantastic Four, they're the biggest properties that Marvel really own. I know they have a partnership with Spider-Man, but X-Men and Fantastic Four, those are huge deals. I know that they've been mistreated by Fox. Fox put out some bangers, though, for X-Men, in my opinion. But also,
oh, yeah,
they put out some 100%. Some rough ones, and they really kind of, I mean, that's why you saw in Fantastic Four, how do we renew this contract? Put the damn movie out! Okay! 8% Rotten Tomatoes, Fantastic Four. Anyway, so it's just, I really hope, exactly what to your point, Keith, I think the best could still be yet to come. And especially with those franchises, they're big enough. And with the right stories. I mean, a lot of people had Spider-Man fatigue. Crazy to think about, right? And then fucking Homecoming came out, and just, I remember telling everyone, it's another Spider-Man movie. Just casual friends. Like, I don't want to, I was like, see this one. This is Marvel making it. And people came back. I really enjoyed that. I really loved who played Peter Parker. That was a fun story.
Yeah.
I would love to see those characters treated right and be able to recommend that movie and like, go see it. So. We'll see.
And there's only a couple of X-Men comics. I think there's only like
two or three.
19 or yeah, yeah, no, okay, no, no, yeah, two or three
couple,
good ones.
Two, yeah, yeah. They did a couple like little side quests, you know, but they were mainly just those two books.
I mean, that was me being sarcastic.
Yeah, I was gonna say I'm a big old dummy, but I know that's wrong.
Tim Bub, hey bud, yeah, he said, I have been mostly comfortable with what Marvel has been putting out. The multiverse saga has been mostly good so far. Not phase 3 good, but I do believe we are building to new heights that will measure up to the tail end of the Infinity Saga. I'm totally biased though, because there's never enough comic book movie content for me. As a matter of fact, Falcon and the Winter Soldier got me excited to get back into reading comics. In fact, I hit my 730-day reading streak today. That is awesome, Tim.
Wow.
I ironically felt let down by Falcon and the Winter Soldier, but in a glass half full situation, it led me to read Truth, Red, White, and Black, which was phenomenal. On its own merit, the MCU has been average, but it has been an avenue to explore new characters and form new relationships with them, if that makes sense. Truth be told, I'm fairly certain I'll be in Marvel withdrawal in 2024, but that's what I have the reading streak for, I guess. In my opinion, out of Phase 4 and 5, not every project was created with equal quality, but I can really only think of one movie I actually disliked. And even if they put out a sequel to that movie, I know I'm still going to go see it. I just hope the quality over quantity approach keeps the casual viewers watching so the MCU can last for years and years. Tim,
great. Now I got to see what movie it is. What movie is it?
I don't think he ever put it there.
No, he didn't. I need to know.
Tim, no cliffhanger. Tim.
Blue balling us.
Oh my god. Oh, man. But I love Tim's comment there, because I think he nails it at the very end there with when he said, I hope that their approach with quality over quantity keeps the casual viewers watching so the MCU can last for years and years and years. And I know, like I said, this is gonna be taken, this is a negative podcast. The casual audience is going to bridge this to continue on. It's that simple. Mm-hmm. You can't have these success. You can't put hundreds of millions of dollars into these and expect it if you're only getting $197 million out. You know, you have to. Now, don't get me wrong. Sure. You just have to tell. Now, because guess what? Hey, we're only expecting $200 million. Well, the movie's going to. Here's the thing. You want those big, those amazing special. That all costs money. Now, don't get me wrong. You can sell a grounded story. It doesn't all have to be flash and lights. I get it. But a lot of these names, a lot of these actors, a lot of the people you're bringing in, they cost a lot too. And so it continues. It's a spiraling effect. You need money to make money. And so just curious. The casual to me is the key. And I think also it may be what you're losing a little bit. Keith, you look like you are about to burst.
I froze. No, oh. I think we should all guess what the one that he disliked was, and I think we should all say it at the same time.
Okay,
what our guess
is. Let me think of it real quick.
Okay, what? Think of it first. Think of it first. Take your time. Let's all breathe in. We'll say a quick Mississippi.
Okay.
Okay. I'm going to try to say something different from you guys.
Okay.
Oh, that's not the game, Emmy. You're just going to say.
I know. But I also want to win.
Okay. Okay. She wants to be.
All right. Well, I will make sure you know now. You will win nothing.
Okay.
If you win.
Yes, okay. Of course. Cool. It's my favorite kind of winning.
So the movie in the last while that has disappointed Tim Bub, we're going to say it on count of 3, 2, 1, Quantumania.
More Love and Thunder. We all did different. Keith did Quantumania. Emmy did Multiverse of Madness, and I said Thor, Love, and Thunder. So,
all right.
There's all right. Three different guesses. We casted the widest
what
net.
What do we win? Does one of us get a shirt?
Yes, Keith, we'll,
okay, cool.
We'll get you a shirt.
You just got your shirts, man. I'm not sending you anything else to fucking Canada. That was expensive.
We're going to send we're going to send Keith a shirt of the Charlize Theron drawing that he did. That's coming out in 2030. So, you'll get it then.
That'd be great. Stick drawing it.
Yeah.
Some cool.
I'm Charlize Theron. I can't wait to be in the MCU.
That's exactly how she sounds. Oh, when did you guys get Charlize Theron on your show? That's crazy. So a good deal.
Why are we assuming that Keith wins? Keith didn't win.
He didn't win.
Oh, I totally won. It's definitely Quantumania because Hank didn't die. I have a point to his point.
It's totally Thor Love and Thunder because Thor was a joke the entire time. A lot of comic book diehards did not like that.
It's Multiverse of Madness, because what even was that movie?
Fuck yes, Emmy. Fist bump.
Illuma Whatty?
Fist bump. I fucking love it. Agreed.
Proud of you. Yes. Proud of us all for shitting
those are three strong. We're like, the MCU is pretty good. And we're like, fuck this movie. Fuck that movie. Okay. Fuck this.
But they had some misses in the first three sagas.
Iron Man
sagas.
2.
Phase 4 and Phase 5 had more hits than misses. We've had way more hits.
Yes.
So those are the three misses.
And more content. More content is going to be more misses. It's math.
That's true.
It's just math. Good deal. Tim, thank you for the comment.
I'm unhinged. Can I reply to Tim's?
Yes. Let him know.
Okay.
Tag him on Discord.
I'll do that right now.
Yeah, tag him on Discord.
Yeah, we got it.
We'll hear from Tim hopefully a little bit later. So, Shannon Ripshire, she's one of our newest patrons.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, I thought he had,
yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. God, I'm just moving on. I'm so sorry. Sorry. What do you got?
Okay. It's okay. I was just going to say that to me, like, okay, so studying film, I've always been really fascinated by franchises and the cause and effect correlation that happens when something in a trilogy, for example, the most common thing with franchises is the second movie, say, takes a twist or a turn or a different kind of look at the whole character, and then it doesn't do that well. How does it get followed up? What do they change in the third one? How do they pivot? And you can't make the same movie twice. It's a bad idea. That's a bad idea creatively. So it always makes me interested to what they're going to respond with next. Like, we've already seen some stories online saying that, oh, Taika Waititi will never touch Thor again. He has no interest. What's the next Thor going to be? It's going to be super serious.
Yeah.
And that's going to be their response to Love and Thunder. Of course, that's going to be their response because it was too goofy. So of course they're going to go the other way. And that's what Thor Love, that's what the Dark World did.
Yeah.
So it went super serious. So it was like,
just make a damn good movie. It can be both. Make good quality stories with quality characters. Is that so much to ask? Who gives a shit what the theme is or the tone? Just make good compelling story and it will.
But I think in general, like the thing with Charlize Theron, we brought her up like 10 times tonight.
She's our favorite in the MCU, by the way, just in case you're wondering.
These doing a more self-contained story with even just the franchise, one franchise at a time, not the whole over-encompassing MCU, but just one at a time, you're going to have less jeopardizing of the integrity of the characters in those stories instead of trying to force them into roles that doesn't make sense for them and have all the characters on the board. Like I say, you're going to have time to focus on what makes them great.
Yeah.
And you have those creative people behind it. And Kevin Feige is one of them. Maybe he's lost sight of that. Maybe he's regaining sight. One of my favorite things about him is that he is very adaptable and he's not going to admit that he's got it right at any point. He's going to keep adapting. I think we could just see some great things if we trust the process, as Emmy said. Trust the process and let what they have now said they're going to do be done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Trust the process. Sorry, I was messaging Bub on Discord.
All right.
So, Bub, if you can hear me right now.
Yeah. Coming at you live from Avengers Tower. We're reaching out to you. So Shannon Ripshire says, I'm an easy pleaser, so I haven't really hated any content from Marvel. Well, there was Thor Love and Thunder, which was my first ever experience walking out of a cinema mid-movie. Oh, shit! But that's really it. I don't even understand the hate some Disney series such as She-Hulk still gets, but I probably wouldn't have liked it so much if it wasn't for Wong showing up with his girl Madison. Heck, Marvel. And not what you think. I love Madison. Anyway, heck.
I don't think those were words.
That's how.
I heard think. I was able to make out the word you. Think.
That's how I hear I Madison. That's how I hear Madison in my okay, brain. Okay. I don't hear words. I just hear a. It's every time. Heck, Marvel, if you're listening, if ever in doubt, you can't go wrong with Wong. That's what they used to call me in high school, Wong. Anyway, I'm going to need that written on a t-shirt. Hey, Emmy's our head of merch.
I can't design it, but somebody design it and send it to me and I'll put it on a t-shirt. You can't go wrong with Wong. Yet another one I can't wear to fucking school.
Actually, I adore Benedict Cumberbatch sniff. I changed that mid-reading if you heard how much I struggled there because I was like, I can't say his real name. So my first Marvel movie was actually Doctor Strange back in 2016. And then my weird crush back in 2016. Oh, God, I just read the same line twice. I'm so sorry. And then my weird crush on Andrew Garfield pulled me into the multiverse of No Way Home. I was hooked. And from there, I had a lot of catching up to do with the rest of the MCU. So maybe this is why I'm easier on Marvel than the rest of the general public, because I wasn't interested when it was considered a masterpiece. I'm just happy I get to experience it at all, if that makes sense. The best thing that I get out of the Marvel content, though, is you guys. I'm not even kidding. Guess who was the number one podcast in my Spotify Wrapped 2023? Oh, Shannon, you're the best.
Thank you, Shannon, for real.
So cool.
Oh, man. All right. Yeah, we got to make that shirt really happen awesome. For Shannon now. Like, yeah.
Oh, 100%.
Oh, yeah. That's awesome. Well, Shannon, we'll send you a You Can't Go Wrong with Wong shirt in the mail in 2030 when Charlize Theron.
When we make a bajillion dollars.
When they make a Wong movie, we'll send you the shirt. We may make the shirt before then, though, but we will send you a shirt when the Wong movie drops. But yeah, watch it. Marvel announces Wong movie in 2024. I'm like, fuck!
Could it be you can't go wrong with Wong, but not where you think.
That is genius. In small font, like pink font, because you can read it in like that Madison voice. Oh, that would be so good. Oh, I like
yet
that.
Another shirt that Whitney can't wear to work.
Yes. Okay, yeah, no, yeah. We really got to work on the family friendly shirts. We really fail at that. Shannon made some great points. Keith, do you have anything to add on that?
Shannon, I just love that you walked out. I love that you walked out of Thor: Love and Thunder. I have never walked out of a movie before. I can't do that because a part of me loves to hate a movie rather than not know what the second half is. I would rather hate it than walk out, but I respect the person who does. And I came close. I came close to Spider-Man 3. Goddamn.
Oh,
but
terrible movie. Terrible movie.
But Love and Thunder had a ton of potential. Taika Waititi is not a bad director at all. And the amount of collaboration and the amount of love that the cast and director had on set, it was clearly a lot more love for the time that they were spending together than love for the project that they were making.
Yeah.
Ooh, put that on a fucking shirt.
Amy liked that movie, by the way. And so did I.
Yeah.
Which movie?
Love and Thunder. We both liked it.
Quantumania. You both loved Quantumania. And you know what? If the storyline with Natalie Portman's character had gone away that I wanted it to, I would have probably bawled as well. It would have been really nice and gratifying. But I just love Andrew Garfield. I love that she loves Andrew Garfield. Shannon, you're amazing.
Oh,
if you want to see a really great Andrew Garfield movie as well, The Imaginarium of Dr. Parnassus is incredible. He's incredible in it, and it's the last movie that Heath Ledger was in.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, nice.
I don't think I've seen that, but it's been on my list for quite a while now.
It's time to go see it.
Yeah, not to go see it. It's not in theaters anymore, you psycho.
You have to go to your living room to see it.
Go to see it. She can watch it on the ceiling of her bedroom now.
Oh, that's a mirror, Keith. That's not a TV.
I love that you watched Doctor Strange in 2016 and then you watched The Amazing Spider-Man, and that's what got you into the MCU. And you did all the homework, and you went through
No Way Home. Did it all. Pulled me into the multiverse of No Way Home.
No Way Home. My bad.
Yeah.
My bad. I've read that wrong.
You did read that wrong.
But, I mean, that's a lot of catching up. And
Andrew Garfield, but it's not where you think.
I mean, that's a lot of catch up. That's a lot of homework. So that's
kudos to you, Shannon.
Pretty amazing.
Yeah. Well,
and the fact that we were number one in her Spotify Wrapped. I mean, hello. Thank you. That's really nice.
You're the best, Shannon. Thank you so much for commenting. Love hearing from you. So we got.
I was going to say, I'm sorry. I was going to say, I've only walked out of one movie. And it was Bruno. It was Sacha Baron Cohen. Mm-hmm. After he did Borat, he did Bruno.
Yeah.
And I went with one of my friends from college, who identifies as gay.
Yeah.
And he walked out. And so I had to walk out after him.
Was it before or after the scene where his penis actually said Bruno?
I don't remember that, but that doesn't mean
shit.
Fair.
Doesn't mean shit. She forgot what she had for. Well, no, she has the same thing for lunch every day. Never mind.
His penis yells his name.
I walked out of See No Evil. It was a WWE movie with Kane, and it was like the stupidest damn thing. I walked out like the first 20 minutes because I was like, this is just stupid. Like, I couldn't.
You're like, this isn't what I wanted for Kane.
Yeah, it was.
I really wanted him to do that.
I just couldn't get over how moronic the acting, everything was just bad. It was like a Lifetime movie on the big screen, and I just could not do it. Lifetime trying to be a scary movie. And I was like, nope, I'm done. I'm out. So.
I first of all, Kane was at the comic book convention that I was at in Columbus.
Oh, nice. Working hard. Which
I wanted
promoting See No Evil?
No, I wanted to walk up to him because you guys realize he's my current county mayor.
Yep.
He is the mayor of my county. And I wanted to walk up to him and be like, you don't have better things to do right now? Yeah. You don't have better things to do?
Yeah.
Jesse Ventura really started something, huh?
I think so. It's always Jesse Ventura's fault, usually.
Yeah.
I'm sure. Well, anyway.
Thanks, Shannon. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Love you, Shan.
Hogarth Hughes said, hey, Avengers, I love you three, and I love Marvel Man. Who's Marvel Man? I need to know that. I love Marvel Man. He loves you, Hogarth. Phase 4 was good. See, we go to these breakdown channels that explain Marvel to us, and we rely on them. It's the only way some of us can follow. A lot of us never read the comics. I haven't. So when the channel that you need to help you to follow the MCU starts to lose interest or speak negative towards the MCU, you'll lose interest too. And those channels have millions of subs. Come on, Phase 1. I wasn't looking for Marvel breakdowns and listening to podcasts about the MCU. I never heard of Thor as a kid. Just being honest, we got to judge these movies on its own merits. There's so much stuff in Phase 4. Look, I'm a grown-ass man, LOL, and I say She-Hulk is great. I know the last episode was wild, but that show had a comfortable feel to it. I watch certain episodes, and that show very often. During Halloween season, I put on WandaVision Episode 6 now. During Christmas, I watch Guardians Holiday Special. I just watched it, too. We watched it the other day. And few episodes of Hawkeye. Like, these things are in rotation. Then the internet is telling me this stuff is bad because of She-Hulk CGI or because they CGI'd Beast. Dude, none of this stuff is real. Show me a real Hulk or any perfect flying superhero. We should really reassess how we criticize things. I believe that's why we're seeing a decline in comic book movies. Sorry, Brandon, but DC also. Fuck you, DC is wonderful. They've never put out a bad movie.
How dare you, Brandon, for saying that?
DC is perfect. DC is honestly.
Why is Brandon the DC lover? Does he always like DC?
I don't know, but I really want to run with that now. I really do. And by the way,
when is that a thing?
I'm announcing now, and I actually was going to save this to the end of the show. I'm leaving the Avengers. It's going to be just Keith and Emmy, and I'm starting my own DC. It's called Writing That DC Ick All Day. It's a DC fanboy podcast where if you don't say anything positive about DC, you're not allowed to have an opinion. So,
Okay.
We control the narrative and we ride that DC yuck all day. It's gonna be great. Now that there's this Marvel Dead talk going on, the comic book movie genre all around is taking a hit, and us fans aren't helping. Man, Hogarth hitting it out of the park so far. Sorry, Brandon. I've been sending in a lot. I think maybe that's why he's saying sorry. You don't need to apologize. Hogarth, this is your platform, my friend. Just know that. I just feel like these things need to be addressed. We got to stop these leaks, man. These leaks are killing DC and Marvel. Leaks were not this bad in early phases. Let's talk about it. Everything in Phase 4 leaked, dude. No Way Home, Multiverse of Madness, Thor. People are now watching these movies to see if the leaks line up, and if it doesn't, they get mad. Look at Deadpool 3. I have not read or seen anything on Deadpool 3.
No,
I have not.
No, but I know it has been spoiled. I'm pretty sure it was Matt said that like the entire movie has been spoiled for him because of Twitter.
It breaks my heart. He said, look at Deadpool 3. And we're not going to spoil Deadpool 3, by the way, if you're listening. We know way too much about the movie already. Plot points and cameos. If Deadpool bombs, they'll blame the strike or because the leaks were never real and we let speculation become expectation. Mind you, we wanted to do a reverse House of M and create mutants in Multiverse of Madness. That was just a cool little theory. And when it didn't happen, everyone slammed the movie. I think that's his last comment, but gosh, I really liked I was looking for another comment, Hogarth, but I really, really loved your comments here. There's a couple of points to really touch on, but a lot of hey, we're just speculating, a lot of leaks, a lot of just, we used to talk about this, especially after Infinity Saga, Endgame. Like, Marvel was always the safe haven for, like, you know, that Star Wars was a toxic fandom. There's some great fans of Star Wars. Don't get me wrong. I this is not a comment on all fans of Star Wars, but there were a subset, a very loud vocal subset that kind of brought that whole fan base into a, well, I like the prequels, or I like the sequels, I like the original trilogy. And they really are passionate. And it's also just, and if you don't agree with me, then, you know, fuck off. It's just,
Star Wars is a toxic fandom, and if you don't agree with me, fuck off.
Sorry, that's
I was really healthy.
No, I meant like those people in the fandom are like, if you don't agree with the first three.
I'm sorry.
I realize how that sounds, but like, if you don't agree that the original trilogy is the best, fuck off. Sorry, I probably should have worded it that way. But by the way, I think Star Wars has been great, and they've had a lot of amazing different content from old to new. A New Hope is damn near a perfect movie. Andor is a fucking phenomenal show. So there's that's the one of the newest Star Wars and the first Star Wars. Fuck it. And there's some good shit all in between it. So anyway, that's my Star Wars stance is, hey, really the whole point of the toxic fandom of Star Wars, I do think it's kind of bled over into comic book movies in general. I think it is... And I think some of this criticism is 100% valid, for the record. But when it's used for toxicity and it's used for finger pointing and blaming, and it's just kind of, there is just a toxic stuff where it's literally not trying to make anything better. It's literally just trying to trash and derail, you know, and those people, sadly, some of them have a very high influence rate, exactly to what Hogarth was saying. You know, I mean, there's a lot of people listening, and so they can influence whether people see it or not. And I hate it, because I was like, oh, the MCU, and even DC was a little toxic too, because is this going in the right direction? MCU always just felt like the safe haven, and I feel like we still have that pocket with our Discord and our small Avengers community, and it's wonderful. But God, there's a lot of places that are just like, ugh, it gets really rough. So anyway, that's just my take on it. Emmy, anything to add on to Hogarth's comment?
I really love the point that the CGI, like, people who complain about CGI, and I know I have in the past, every once in a while, it is truly bad. But for the most part, like, I will forgive a lot with CGI, because like Hogarth said, none of this is real, dude.
Yep. I love that.
I love that.
None of this is real.
Yep.
And the fact that I get to see it on the big screen, even if it's not beautifully, wonderfully perfect, I'm okay with it. I'm okay with it. And I like that point that, like, yeah, we can nitpick the fuck out of some CGI, but I am very willing, if it's a good story and a good movie, very willing to overlook some CGI tomfoolery.
Yeah. Good deal.
Yeah.
Keith, what's your take?
First, I got to say, Hogarth, I love the Iron Giant name. Great movie. Great choice. But the CGI, again, same thing. I used to criticize CGI a lot more than I do now. I think that it's one of those things that you get a pass, especially in the MCU, whereas like it makes perfect sense to look at it under a microscope over the years that have made leaps and bounds with CG, like the Corridor Crew on YouTube has fantastic videos about what makes great CG and why it's why it's this uncanny valley uncomfortability with stuff that's so close to looking believable but not quite there. And I myself used to love comparing the three versions of the Hulk that we've gotten in the last 20 years as like the Goldilocks and Three Bears. Like the first one was a little too hot, looked a little bit like Shrek. The second one was a little too cold, looked veiny and hard and wet all the time, and didn't
like
really
needs
move
a bra.
Yeah,
veiny, wet, and hard.
I knew as I was writing these notes, I was like, "There's so many dick jokes."
Yeah, but, my goodness. When you see the original Edward Norton Hulk, if you don't get veiny and wet and hard while watching, something's wrong.
Then you just
with you.
Yell outside a cave.
Yeah,
it happens. But no, in the Avengers with first time Mark Ruffalo playing him, maybe it was Mark. Maybe Mark did it.
No, that's CG.
It was the VFX guy.
God,
they got
CG.
It just right.
My favorite CG in the entire MCU is actually I have two favorite CGs: the Hulk in the first Avengers. Is to me perfection.
Perfect. They got it.
And Thanos, especially the opening scene Thanos in Infinity War, absolutely breathtaking. Those two CGs are like the standard to me of the entire. I'm in awe of those because I believe, oh, Thanos is a real thing. Hulk is a real thing. They're just out of this fucking world. Sorry.
Leaps and bounds beyond anything that even to, you know, 2008 Edward Norton Hulk, they like the Avengers Hulk, they waited a while before featuring Hulk in the MCU for a good while because the contracting and loosening of the muscles all looked believable. And it's like every little touch matters because you're dealing with people's perceptions of reality, and the better it looks, the less they're going to go, I'm a little taken out of this scene because Hulk doesn't quite look like he's there. It's like, it's just, that's as simple as that. But the amount of money that MCU has, the amount of work that they're throwing at their VFX artists, you got to give them a fucking break and you got to space these things out. And quality over quantity, it's going to give those VFX artists the time they need to achieve the things that we're used to seeing and that we're expecting of the MCU, because they have all the money. What they don't have is all the time, and you can't expect them to do the best stuff with only one of those two things. So
well said.
Also, fuck leaks.
Leaks
suck.
I was gonna,
don't even show us a trailer for Deadpool 3. I don't want to see a trailer.
Yeah,
I'm already
gonna
see
it.
Don't show me a trailer.
We'll probably react to that trailer though. So Keith,
probably.
Can you please? Yeah. I would love you on that show, please. That'd be great.
But the second trailer,
the first one.
Just the first one. No, that's Emmy and I's rule. We only watch the first trailer. We avoid TV spots and all additional trailers after.
I will literally walk
out of a room if I see a TV spot for a Marvel movie. I'm like, fuck off.
My family loves it when I do the la 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 la.
Same.
It just shows so much desperation when they show you every second of the movie. It's like, oh, you clearly don't believe in your product.
Yeah.
I've said it before.
No. Well, there's the thing too. I will touch base and then we'll go into the next comment, is that leak, what he did say there. I know it's easier said than done, and I'm not saying, hey, do better or do, I hope it doesn't come across that way. Just more so, just be cautious of what you consume online. Stay away from it if you can. I mean, don't go on Twitter. Yeah, just
ever. It's a garbage. It's a garbage on fire.
Emmy,
trash
Emmy,
shoot of
Emmy MCU
asshole. Yes.
Okay. So, but no, I really think just watch what you consume if you want that spoiled for you. And I actually know listeners that do. They want to read all these plot points and they want to read the stories.
Jordan,
I was thinking of Jordan, actually. And that's fine if that's what you're into. But also, if you're not, stay away from certain pockets of the internet. Exactly what Emmy said.
Twitter.
Maybe there's more, too. Reddit, I think, is a bad one as well. Just kind of be leery
of
that.
I don't even know what Reddit is. Let me be honest.
Okay. But that's also the joy of movies, is experiencing those things for the first time, seeing what these filmmakers have created, and in their vision, not the one you read or not the one you think or the images you see, these stills, the movie. You know, and I think just to give those creators and those actors a chance, and those VFX artists and those people behind the scenes and props and makeup and stage design, all those people deserve that chance for you to see their movie properly or their show. And so, yeah, if you can and you're not trying to get spoiled, don't. Just stay away from it if you can, if at all possible, because they deserve that. Kind of, it's like the unveiling. Here's what I have to show you. And I don't know. There's something so special about that moment.
Like the streaker in the park.
I knew you were going to. As soon as I fucking said it, I was like, God damn it. I set it up for like a trench coat. Eh! Yeah. I knew it. I thought of that. I was like, I fucked up because I know Amy's going to do that.
The CG on that streaker.
Okay. We're done. So, Jordan, speaking of. Hi, Jordan. Good to hear from you, man. Sorry.
Hi.
Sorry.
Oh, right, because we mentioned him before. Not the
streaker. No, we don't think Jordan's not. No. Jordan's good people. I love Jordan.
We don't need a slander.
Yeah, no, Jordan.
Like lawsuits.
I love Jordan.
Jordan is wonderful. Sorry I'm a little late. Just got off a flight to #GagCity, #PinkFriday2. I feel like a lot of the recent movies have flopped due to the character stories not being completely fleshed out and or the writers not reading the previous content that the characters they're working on have been in. Multiverse of strangeness. Ugh, love that. Or they just put too many jokes in a movie and make it not really rewatchable. Thor, Love and Disappointment. However, oh God, he's coming out swinging. However, when a movie is actually good, the Marvels, it's been overshadowed by people with agendas who decide it's bad because of who the leads are or the alleged agenda they feel the movie is pushing. As far as shows go, I think lately they've rushed to put out too much in a short period of time, with subpar writing and filler episodes. WandaVision, Loki, and Hawkeye are
How dare you? Are
exceptions.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Okay.
Yeah, you're saying that they're good ones. Yeah.
They're the good ones. Well, okay. Sorry.
So do you retract your how dare you? How dare you?
I do. I retract my how dare yous.
Okay.
I apologize. I was too willing to fight.
Okay. First off, the Marvels sucks ass. I hate it. Just kidding.
I'm reading them right now.
He didn't say it. He did not say that. I was wanting to get another how dare you and then a retraction following it. However, I'm excited for season 2 of What If and the premiere of Echo. Also, Agatha, whatever the name is at this date and time. And second, I love Jordan so much. Anyway, I'm optimistic but nervous because Bob said, once again, that their focus is quality over quantity. Another one of their focuses should be not to hire any more Rick and shitty, oops, Morty writers. Sorry, I'm spicy tonight. Love you, bitches. Oh, and Dead Fucking Pool 3. I'm excited about that as well. God, great comments, Jordan. Thank you.
Dead Fucking Pool 3.
100%. Please never be anything but spicy, because this is 100%. I completely agree. Mm. Agatha, whatever the name is at this date and time, can't wait for that show. But honestly, like, let's land on something.
Let's stick with it. Jesus. Yeah.
Yeah. And honestly, whatever Bob says, like, I really don't give a shit anymore what Bob Iger says. Like, fuck that man. He sucks. So I will only be listening to Daddy Kevin from here on.
Jog on, Bob.
Oh, nice. Kevin, we're baby birds. We're just waiting for you to regurgitate in our mouths.
Do you guys know what #GagCity and #PinkFriday
is? I was just going to say, I want to go to Gag City next year. Is it anal? I mean, annual?
Oh, no. No. Amy? Yeah, I'm going to let you answer. I have nothing.
You guys don't know what that is?
No, I have no clue.
Oh, Nicki Minaj just came out with a new album.
I knew that much. I was just
It's Pink Friday too. Yeah.
Is that the name of the song confused. On it?
I don't believe that's the name of the album. I'm being an asshole and being like, you guys don't know what Pink Friday 2 is, but I think it's just that this is the second time that she's released an album on quote unquote Pink Friday. And so I don't know what the album's called, but I'll look it up right now.
I love how she's like, do you know what this is? And then proceeds to educate us without knowing. It makes no sense.
Well,
she's doing the Googling for us. And you know what?
She dropped an album.
All right. I'm so confused. Jordan, thank you so much.
I hope she picks it up again.
Oh,
Pink Friday.
Ricky and Shitty. I love that so much.
Yeah.
I agree with Jordan, by the way.
Yeah.
I don't want all my MCU stuff to be written or directed by the same people. Raimi, you really fucked up by not watching WandaVision. Fuck you.
Yeah.
Very rarely is something like the Joss Whedon or the Russo brothers to a bigger effect. Very rarely should that happen in the MCU, I think. Like, mm-hmm. they lucked out when they found some people who did a great job, and of course they're going to keep going with that safe bet and keep putting them in charge of stuff that are bigger and bigger and bigger. But I love that the MCU hires directors and, well, directors more so, from smaller indie projects that are just really good. And so they have a new flavor to them all the time. I don't want to see the same movie twice.
Yep.
So, yeah, I love that about the MCU.
I think we have a Gag City update.
It is the name of the album.
I was going to say, I think we have a Gag City update. Gag City or Pink Friday 2?
Pink Friday 2. The last Pink Friday was 2012.
Where did Gag City come from?
Well, I mean, like, she's coming out with a new album. Like, we're all in Gag City. We're all gagged for Nicki Minaj's new album.
I just don't understand anymore, and it's okay.
Gag City. We're all gagging for it.
Gag City. Gag City.
You have to watch more Drag Race. We're gagged.
Yeah.
Okay.
Come on.
Like, you're gagged. You're like so excited. You're like living for it, you know?
I don't.
Bam.
Yay.
I honestly, when I am excited, gag is not the feeling. It's not. Yeah.
It's a different connotation. You have to.
He thinks of Jim Carrey, Dumb and Dumber gagging.
Yeah. Literally finding his best friend and his love interest. Coming back from skiing, you know, and they were hitting the slopes, and he's really upset about it.
Okay, it's okay. We'll teach you.
Okay, Jordan, I'm sorry, I'm old. Garrett
and Jordan, if I got any of that wrong, please sound off in the comments below.
Garrett said, "So I'm happy with the current state of the MCU, but I've caught myself not as urgent to see stuff. I'll go weeks at a time before seeing a movie or a new episode sometimes. But I do think the quality of their content has taken a hit. I'm excited to see what the future holds, though. I think that they have a good chance to bring themselves back into full form as long as they don't mess up. But I would like them to try and keep a tighter wrap on content as it is coming out, because I want the cool stuff to be seen for the first time while watching the movie or show and not an ad. I think they'll I think they'll be just fine at the end of the day, though, regardless. Love y'all, though. Have a great record." Thank you, man.
Have a great record.
I really read it as record. Have a great
Here
record.
Here you go.
Yes, thank you so much, Garrett. And Garrett kind of really echoed Keith there. Like, I think they're going to be okay. I think that was kind of Keith's original sentiment, and I love that Garrett kind of, you know, really just listened to Keith and then copied and pasted it. Garrett, you're a follower.
No, I appreciate you doing that, Garrett. It's helpful.
Yeah. No, I think that's really cool. I think it is the overlying theme of, it's kind of bumpy, and hey, maybe it's not as urgent to go see things here and there, but yeah, tighten up the ship a little bit, you know, and really kind of focus in, and it's not all is lost. And I think that's a really just kind of a very good, important overlying message that Keith touched base on and Garrett did as well. I like it.
Well, some of my friends who are very much MCU fans, who are Marvel fans, I think the more casual viewer, it's not, I have to see this right now, but it's more of a, I'll see this when I can.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I don't necessarily think that that's a bad thing. I do think that once we like close out whatever this saga is.
Multiverse saga is what it is.
Well, I know, but like whenever the multiverse saga, whenever we close out. The Okay, I know. I meant like whenever we close out.
It's called the multiverse.
Whenever that is. Okay.
That's what it's called.
Multiverse.
Yeah. First one was Infinity Saga. It was three phases. This is multiverse.
This is the multiverse one.
It's going to be 17 phases. So.
It probably is going to last until we see Charlize Theron.
Bring Charlize Theron!
In 2030.
You want to know what her superhero name is? You ready?
Yeah, Charlize Theron.
Charlize Theron. She's playing herself, Keith. We already established this.
Yeah, never mind. That
what's her other superhero name?
The Multiverse.
Oh.
She's it. She's it. She's the thing. And we're
just chasing it
until 2036.
2030.
I feel like when we get closer to the end of it, I think the stakes will be higher and it'll be more urgent, because I felt that with the Infinity Saga. It wasn't, well, Iron Man 2 I didn't go see because of an ex who was a controlling asshole, but like that wasn't a me thing, that was a controlling asshole ex thing. But like,
is that why you love it so much, is that you overcame that bad taste, Iron Man 2?
It might be.
Oh man,
no, we're done. I don't think it is, because that movie truly hits the puzzle pieces in my brain.
Nah, it really doesn't.
Hits them all.
I think it's yeah, okay. We'll talk.
We'll talk off the air.
Yeah, I think. Okay. I think we need
we'll
dive
get down
in
to this.
Yeah.
We'll talk to my therapist next week about it.
I took a course.
Yeah,
but like I didn't. I don't think I saw like Thor immediately in theaters. I don't think I saw the first Avenger immediately in theaters. Like, yes, I was hooked into the MCU, but I don't think that it really became like I have to see this at the midnight showing until after the Avengers. Like, that's when it really got like, yeah, I'm going to see all of this now.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
thank you, Daddy Kevin.
Oh, the Avengers, man. I will. I didn't have cable before I met my girlfriend, now wife. And she was like, oh, you need Netflix. Oh, you need Hulu. Oh, you need 500 other streaming devices. Hey, you need cable. Hey, you need this. I literally didn't have a damn thing. I had basic cable just so I could look at the weather. That was the only reason. It was simple as shit. And I lived off of physical media, Blu-rays. And I had the first five movies. I had Iron Man 1, The Incredible Hulk, Iron Man 2, Thor, and the Captain America, the First Avenger. And I watched those movies over and over and over. And so when the Avengers came out, fuck yeah. I was in line. I was there midnight. And I remember I was working 14-hour shifts at my employer at that time. 14 hours. I would work from 6 a.m. to 8 p.m. And I went to the midnight showing of a three-hour Avengers movie and loved that fucking movie with everything in me. I do. I went into work, and I remember it was the first time I felt like I was a floating ghost. I was just like literally a floating ghost going through the hallways. Like I was just on this weird, like half asleep and 14 hours in, going home at 8 p.m. And anyway, but that was when I knew I was an MCU diehard, because I was willing to feel just like complete ass all day for 14 hours for that 3 hour, because then I saw the movie. It's not like I just went home and went to bed right at 3, had to drive home, and then you're so, you know, gagged on the Avengers. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Did I do it right?
Gag City.
Did I do it right? Hashtag Gag City. And I was I was just so pumped. It was probably about 4:35. I fell asleep, and then like my alarm went off at like 5:30 or something, because I had to be at work at 6. So anyway, a lot of fun. That was the moment it turned for me, and I have been seeing them opening night ever since. I have not missed one, but God bless. Mm-hmm. Fucking love the MCU. Still. Good deal. All right.
I think the two things working against them, and like I say, we're going to trust the process. We're going to trust what they say, quality over quantity. The two things is A, oversaturation. We're getting too much stuff, and therefore people can get tired. It's not special. Like mm-hmm. it used to be. So you don't give the time to breathe in between projects. Just so many projects. The other thing is the MCU is no longer an underdog. Nope. We're not recognizing the risks that they're taking. Like when they mm-hmm. made the first Iron Man movie, they didn't know it was going to be successful. They didn't have any clue.
No clue.
They're like, we're not even sure that Iron Man's a big enough character when they first came out. And same with Thor, picking an unknown actor to play Thor. That was a risk. Mm-hmm. Picking characters like the Guardians, that's a risk. And they're still doing risks like that, except now they have the reputation that, oh, everything they do is going to be successful, so who cares? And so those casual viewers who look at them as like, oh, they're going to be successful whether we go or not, they don't have that underdog feeling anymore, that they're like, oh, we got to check out the good superhero movies, or we got to support the, like, when you compare it to how many flops of superhero movies we had before the MCU happened, like, there was no guarantee that a superhero movie was going to be good. There was tons of bad ones. More often than not, they were terrible. But, you know, they had some great Spider-Man stuff, some great X-Men stuff, and then usually the third movie would kind of... So one, two, buckle my flop.
Maybe.
Yeah. Maybe. That's the rule.
Yeah.
In the 2000s, that was the rule.
I kind of to that point, this was Iron Man 1 came out right after The Dark Knight and The Dark Knight Rises, which I get these confused. The Dark Knight Rises was the one with Heath Ledger that was absolutely incredible.
Dark
right?
Knight. Dark Knight was
that the, was the Dark Knight.
Yeah.
That was Dark, the Dark Knight. Rises. Oh, Batman the... Begins is the first one. Correct. God damn it.
Yeah. Yep. Batman.
Dark Knight Rises was the one with all the plot holes.
And Bane.
Yes. Well, the, Bane. like you said, oh. Third time's a flop.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're so, saying. But
it wasn't even like a commercial or critical flop. It was just not as good, nor could it be
as close
as good as The Dark Knight.
Dark Knight was the peak. There was a good luck, you know. Like I just felt so bad for them because don't get me wrong. I think Dark Knight Rises is a lot of plot holes. Good movie, you know. It's an okay movie, maybe, but Dark Knight
stylistically, it was awesome. It just had a shit ton of weird, unexplainable pivots.
Yeah, and Dark Knight though. Could fucking watch that every day of my. Oh, that was another. Oof, I love Dark Knight.
It was like a crime thriller that just happened to have Batman and the Joker in it.
Incredibly depressing. Awesome. Incredibly depressing, but however, so damn captivating. But yeah, it was so really captivating good. Because of everyone's performance. I thought, I mean, really, everyone stepped up in that movie. So, yeah, love it.
But that was, I mean, that was right before Iron Man came out. Like, mm-hmm. I feel like Dark Knight came out in 20.
It was 2008 was Dark Knight and then Iron Man that summer, I think. It was might have been the same summer.
Yep.
Actually, oh, okay.
Incredible Hulk was also 2008, so.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that makes sense.
It was Iron Man, then Dark Knight, then Hulk.
Yep.
But yeah, so like that's it going up against other superhero movies that were fabulous. That was my point bringing it up.
Yeah. Oh, get it. I totally get it. So we got our next comment, from Jarrett Wilkins. Well, I think I'd be lying if I said I didn't think Marvel was in a bit of a recession right now. It's obvious to the audience since they cut back on releases, and while I get that was to focus on quality control, a studio like Marvel usually has different teams working on different releases at the same time. I think you guys all brought up the point that phases 4 and 5 feel disjointed, like they're not part of a series. We thought that Kang was supposed to tie the multiverse saga together, but it seems like he's been contained to Ant-Man and Loki. With the Kang Dynasty film approaching in the next couple of years, I hope they'll present him in more of their films, barring the Jonathan Majors charges, excuse me, of course. I think maybe they've only been putting out what's mostly finished to stall for time and possibly rework the Kang saga into something else. I'm excited for the Echo series next year, but I'm mostly looking forward to the Agatha series and the Blade movie. I saw a rumor that they might be setting up for the Midnight Suns. Jarrett Wilkins, thank you so much for your comment. Really, really appreciate that. You know, obviously, I do agree. We've talked about it in numerous other podcasts about 4 and 5 feeling disjointed as well. And Kang is. He's very contained. I think they had bigger intentions for Kang, and I think they've had to pivot already. And where they truly land obviously is going to be based on, you know, the situation currently with Jonathan Majors. There's so many rumors going out there, and this is all rumored, this is not confirmed, that hey, Doctor Doom is gonna be the place of Kang. They're gonna, or hey, Kang is completely written off after Loki, or they just left it open-ended. And I think that's what we discussed in our episode 6 is really, where does Kang go from here? We don't know, because they kind of left it in that state where if it is the last appearance, no one's going to say, oh, you know, well, what about the, but if it isn't, it's not a bookend either. It's not completely the door is shut. So they really have left it kind of in Jonathan Majors' court, and obviously his own situations. But Kang is such an amazing focal point in the comics and all these variants. If there's any character you can recast and you can do something, it's just a shame.
Fair.
Why not Kang? I mean, we did it with Rhodey. We did it with Hulk. Why not Kang? I'm just saying. We did it with Cassie just recently. What the fuck? I know these maybe. Well, that's not Kang. I get it. But Kang also, to me, has more of a chance to be recast because of all the variants and all of the story. And hey, this is from another Earth and he's coming, or another universe. And here's, you can do it. You can do it. You can make it work in the whole weird superhero and continue. If you're truly pivoting off of a major focal point, Avengers Kang Dynasty, that was a damn Avengers title. Secret Wars, Kang Dynasty. What's going to happen? I don't think you just have to shove that in a box because Jonathan Majors may or may not be, you know, not a good person. I obviously that should dictate whether he is in the MCU, but not whether Kang is a focal point in the MCU. And so I'm so indifferent, and that's my Kang take. So
that's your Kang bang?
That's my Kang bang, guys. I knew it was coming. It's like we almost have these, we're just like a soundboard, like, all right, now hit that.
Kang bang button.
Yeah. Exactly.
I feel the same way. Like, yeah, just let's recast and keep moving forward, because I feel like if they put that many titles out, they had some vision for it, and I trust what their vision was. And let's just recast and keep going, man.
Keep going.
Yeah, lots of versatile actors out there. I feel like the comparison to compare it to the Infinity Saga, in the sense that, like, the Infinity Saga had a bunch of MacGuffins to go and search for, all these Infinity Stones, all these tie-ins with objects, not just some guy. How many movies was Thanos actually in? Three phases.
Bingo.
So that guy doesn't matter as much as the MacGuffins to create the gauntlet, and now he's the guy using it. So throwing Kang's name out there is putting themselves in a corner, especially if they're banking on one actor to play him. But there's lots of versatile actors out there. If it's not going to be Jonathan Majors, give it to somebody else. Save Doom for later.
Yes.
Save Doom for the Fantastic Four to get their proper... You know, we've seen Doom fight the Fantastic Four before, but at this point, I think they earned it.
Yeah.
Like, give them their nemesis.
Yes.
As opposed to, you know, bringing him out too early.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I saw something about... Oh, God, I can't remember who it is, because as soon as I see anything like this, I'm like, all right, and I do like the flashy, like, Men in Black thing where I'm like, all right, and forget. But it was something about who was cast or who could be cast as Dr. Doom.
Oh, I saw some rumors.
That is Cillian Murphy or Mads Mikkelsen.
Yes! Oh, those it was two. Cillian Murphy. Aw, damn it.
Cillian or Killian? Cillian?
I think I've said Cillian, but that sounds.
I've always said Cillian.
I want to say Cillian, but it's like now I think I've heard people saying Killian now.
Oh, but what a choice! Right. He would be fucking fantastic.
He would be really, no pun intended, fantastic. Yeah. I would not hate that at all.
Oh, pun intended.
Mads Mikkelsen would be dope too. And
he's already been. He's already done been
it. Yeah, but the guy playing Blade has also been in the Luke Cage series. I'm cool with them just.
Luke Cage is not in the MCU.
Mahershala Ali.
Luke Cage is technically not MCU though.
But the second they brought Brian, or the second they brought Charlie Cox in as Daredevil.
Yeah, but
all of that is.
No,
yeah,
it's not.
Jessica Jones, Iron Fist, all is.
No, it's not. It's not where, but not you, where think. You think.
If Jamie Foxx is Electro, then Ali can play both Blade and Cornell from Luke Cage.
He was in Luke Cage.
Yeah, he was the bad guy. One of the lead bad guys in Luke Cage, the series. Oh. He was dope. He was awesome.
Okay,
I stand.
I did. I need everyone to know that I did watch the first episode of Daredevil before I met Charlie Cox, and that first episode alone, like, I want to keep watching. I just haven't had a chance to
do it.
Yeah.
All you get is more Cox.
And who doesn't want more?
Can't wait.
So, hey, speaking of someone who saw Charlie Cox with you, it's Whitney.
Hi, Whitney.
She said, wow, I'm super late posting, youngins. So I'm a Marvel fan. I'm also not a film critic. I either like movies or I don't. I understand that some people expect a lot from Marvel because we've gotten such amazing accomplishments like Endgame and Infinity War and Black Panther, etc., etc. However, I cannot remember a single time that I had a terrible time watching a Marvel film. Yes, even Multiverse of Madness. I'm not worried about the future of Marvel, simply because I have seen instances in the past of them coming through when we thought there was no hope. For example, when Chadwick Boseman died, we were not sure what would happen with Wakanda Forever. And it turned out to be a pretty good film, in my opinion. I think every film franchise goes through growing pains, but I have faith that they will continue to make movies that I enjoy, even if others don't. I hate that some MCU movies get hate of reasons that are not even relevant to the film, like having female leads, being quote-unquote woke, etc. But are those really the fans that we want to share a fandom with? And people can call me a kiss ass if they want, or a Marvel stan, or whatever, but I enjoy Marvel. I enjoy that it helps me escape from my stressful life, and that it helped me meet some of the most amazing people that I've ever met. P.S. For those of you who are wondering, Charlie Cox smells amazing. And Sean Gunn has to buy his Guardians of the Galaxy t-shirts online, just like the rest of us. Love you all. Whitney, fantastic comment. Great to hear from you. Oh, golly. So we've got our second confirmation that Charlie Cox smells amazing.
Oh, yeah. Phenomenal.
I'm not sure if we said that in the pre-show or at the actual show, but golly, what a amazing.
Whitney, bringing in the hopeful comment at the end, the big warm hug, thrown it in Brandon's face forever doubting.
I'm still leaving the podcast to start DCX. All right, I'm going to do it. So fuck off. I'm not doing this show anymore. I'm over it.
Whitney, I couldn't say it any better myself. The way that they come out of adversity and show us all up, and they're like, you thought that we were going one way and, you know, fuck you all. Like, the MCU, it's going to endure. We just need to trust the process.
Man, we have said trust the process way too much. We sound like coach of an 0-10 team. Like,
we sound like Ted Lasso.
That's and what I mean.
I finished that last night.
Oh, I can tell. Oh,
it was amazing.
I
loved it.
So coach speak. Trust the process. Yeah. All right.
But yeah, like I appreciate your sentiment of like seeing that some things are getting hate because of reasons that aren't even relevant to the film.
Yep.
And like you said something about the MCU earlier, and let me tell you, I fucking love it.
Hell yeah. Well, thank you, Whitney. I think you just nailed it perfectly. It's hard to even add context. I think it was such a rounded answer of, hey, guys, it's good. Even it's like sex. Even when it's bad, it's good. You know, I mean, it's or like pizza. Maybe that's a better reference.
Yeah. Because some nice. Sex is bad. Oh, it's just bad.
I get mine with extra pepperoni.
Sex.
So. Your sex.
Huh? I thought we pivoted.
No. We have pizza while we're having sex.
That sounds Friday night. Stuff crust.
Oh man. Jeez. So.
But it must be so tricky to work at the MCU. Sorry. Trying to pivot. Like, no. Was that the perfect way to go and segue into my closing comment?
Close comments. Close your comments. What you got?
I just think the motto shouldn't be just simply that bigger is better. I'm not talking about sex or dicks anymore. it shouldn't be just bigger is better. Bigger is the spectacle. We saw that with the Endgame movie. We saw that even No Way Home. They're still thinking that bigger is better. And I think that it's more expensive and they'll hit a ceiling and they think they have. And instead we need to stretch the idea of what is better to go into deeper storytelling, to go into more originality, to get more outside the box. And those tactics should just happen. And I think they have been.
Yeah,
we just need to let that happen.
Swear to God, Amy, you don't have to make the joke that you're about to make right now.
I covered up my mouth so I wouldn't.
Okay,
we're done. Was it about girth?
No, it was about you saying the word deeper.
I knew it. Everything I wrote after bigger is better is like, I could twist this into another dick thing. Damn it.
Guys.
Yeah, sorry.
We have an audio to listen to as well, guys. So we are going to get to it. I actually fixed this audio up so it converted just fine. Derek from the Going Merry podcast, he actually shares a podcast with Whitney, who just left a comment. So fun fact. So we're going
to
hear from
him. Amanda, who also got to meet Charlie Cox and would also confirm that he smells phenomenal.
Amanda, I need you to complete the trifecta. We need to know. If it's a 3 for 3, I don't want to take Emmy's word for it. Did Charlie Cox smell amazing? Emmy's like, fuck off. I know he did, and I know Amanda thinks it. I don't know.
Yeah.
I need to hear from Amanda. Amanda, sound off in the comments below.
I think he touched my boob. He had his arm around Whitney.
Shut up. Stop.
He had his arm around
Whitney.
He
is blind.
It was like right here.
No, that's Matt Murdock. That's not Charlie Cummings.
Oh, shit. Keith. Okay, so he has no excuse. What the fuck, man?
Yeah, that's messed up, Charlie.
Charlie.
I wasn't complaining.
Okay. Hey, let's hear from Derek. So here he is with his thoughts on the state of the MCU.
It is Derek here from the Going Merry podcast. Unfortunately, due to time and scheduling issues, we were not able to get all three of us together on one recording. But, I mean, you know how it goes. That kind of happens whenever you have three co-hosts and schedules just don't line up sometimes. You know, it happens. But I have already recorded this multiple times, and it's too long. I have too much to say, and it's too long, so we're just going to get right the fuck into it. The past of the MCU, or recent history of the MCU, has scared me for the future. Phases 4 and 5 have been all over the place, inconsistent with the quality. Like, you've got your few shows like No Way Home, Shang-Chi, Far From Home, Guardians 3, Black Panther, the Marvels I would put up there in the top tier of Phase 4 and 5 movies. You know, and then there's a few that are good. Like, I enjoyed Black Widow. It's not great. It's not up to the normal quality of MCU projects. And then you've got, like, Eternals, which is good. You know, I enjoy Eternals. And then there's some shitters. There's quite a few shitters, and it's not just kind of a shitter. It's bad shitters. You know, I'm like this with Quantumania, okay? I enjoyed that movie because I love Paul Rudd, and I loved some of the lines in it. But I understand that it's a shit movie, okay? I understand I'm in the very few that enjoy that movie.
Hey,
still admit it's shit, even though I like it. So, Whitney.
Damn.
Emmy. Ouch. Love and Thunder is shit. I know you like it.
Oh my goodness.
It's shit. The shocked movies that have been in this have been.
We had such a positive podcast, and then it's like, just, yeah, this shit. And this shit. Emmy's face is amazing. It's good.
Whitney bringing it home with positivity.
And then Derek just shits on it.
Like, fuck that shit.
Derek, let's get back to some shit. Here's some more of Derek.
Place. Phases 1 through 3, you could go into a Marvel movie knowing that this was going to be a good movie. And every once in a while, you would walk out disappointed. It's kind of flipped now. It's, you're walking into this movie kind of expecting a disappointment because of recent history of Marvel. You know, and then every once in a while, you'll get something that'll knock it out of the park. And that sucks that it's flipped like that. It has made me not really trust Marvel anymore.
Emmy's clutching her pearls.
There is no story now. There's no tension that's building. You know, for those people that really pay attention, you know Kang Dynasty is coming up. So you know they're building toward Kang. You know who Kang the Conqueror is. So you know that he's going to be the big villain that they're building toward. But if you didn't know who Kang was, if you didn't know that Kang Dynasty was coming, would you really feel the tension that's been in Phase 4 and 5? Are you feeling it? Because I'm not. Are you feeling the multiverse? Because we've had it in three projects, including Loki, Multiverse of Madness, and No Way Home. Even though, because like Quantumania talked about the multiverse, but it didn't really deal with the multiverse outside of Kang being there, who is a multiversal villain. Like, what are you building toward at this point? The first three phases, all these movies connected. Even if it was just one or two lines, they connected. Even if it was just a small little 2-minute post-credit scene, it connected to the next movie that was coming out. And
we
all of that is
gone. That. We touched
base. We get
on
a post-credit scene now. It might connect in 6 years if we're lucky.
We did say that.
Okay. Yeah. Nothing connects lately, and that sucks. Like I said, there have been movies that I've enjoyed over the recent history of the MCU, but overall, it has been a disappointment. So right now,
overall, it's been a disappointment. There's Emmy's clutch those pearls again. Oh, and I think Keith has turned into Robert De Niro as well. So,
Derek, hey Derek, damn. Calm down.
Calm down. That's that right there. That right there. Oh. Calm the fuck down.
Okay, my MCU. You talking about my MCU?
This is the Circle of Trust. It's an Infinity Gauntlet. So
you are out. You are out of the Circle of Trust. Yeah. Derek. Yeah. I don't know why he sounds like this. He doesn't. That's the.
He did go a little. He went a little like Eastern European there for a second.
A little bit.
The word out, the way that you say out in the De Niro.
Wow, that's my Canadian bleeding through. Nobody knows this. Robert De Niro is actually Canadian.
Yeah, no, I don't think he. Well, we'll find out. We'll Google it later. You leave a comment below if Robert De Niro is Canadian or not. But I think this is actually kind of good. Emmy, I know you've clutched your pearls 500 times and you've told him to calm down. And I know you're even giving me a look now. Like, how dare you, Brandon? I like opposing views. I like the discussion. I think it's important that all sides get heard. And there is a majority of fans that feel, not a majority, excuse me. There is
Did you put him up to this?
I did. I just was ready to set the world on fire before we got on out of here. But I think there's a portion, excuse me, not a majority, a portion of fans that feel this way. I know people feel fatigue with it too. I work with somebody who has Doctor Strange tattoos. Like, The Darkhold, all these Doctor Strange issues. I haven't seen the last like 2 years of Marvel because it was just too much. Yeah, I just couldn't keep up with it, and it was also just never felt fully connected, so I didn't really care to keep watching it, you know. And diehard Doctor Strange fan. I mean, sorry, someone who's gonna tattoo Doctor Strange all over you, and you're just like, I really don't care what the future of the. It's tough to hear. It is, but I do think it is not just Derek. I think a lot of people are like. One, the fatigue. Two, the quality has gone down for certain people. And, I mean, Rotten Tomatoes kind of supports that. We have seen a lot more lower scores. We've seen a lower box office. It does lend a hand. It is now, some are rooted in just stupidity and vitriol, which is not valid, in my opinion. But there are just some genuine people that really are, this is just not good. Not a big fan. So, I don't know. I'm enjoying this. And also, Emmy's just losing her shit, and I'm enjoying that, too. So, yeah, Emmy.
Are tattoos permanent down there?
No. No, they're actually just 2 days. Yeah.
Okay. So, they're rub-offs.
2 days.
Yeah.
Rub-offs. Is that what you call temp tats in Canada? Rub-offs?
No, I made that up now, I'll be honest.
Ah.
Okay.
Yeah, we call rub-offs something completely different.
That's very different.
Stuffed crust pizza, if you know what I'm saying.
Expensive.
Good Lord. No, I don't agree.
Okay. All right.
That's fair. And I was trying to jot down notes as quick as I could, and all I got was Kang and then an arrow that leads to nothing because I couldn't write down stuff quick enough. Like, he made some comment about how, like, he didn't understand where Kang was going, or it was something like that, right? Am I wrong? And I see the vision. I see, and I trust the vision. I trust the
process. Stop! I'm done.
Oh no! Oh no! Oh no! Guys, are we going to be a cult?
No.
Cult documentaries.
No, we are not starting a cult. No.
Damn it!
Emmy? But like, sure. if I wanted to, I could.
I told you, Emmy, the first rule about making this podcast, you're not turning it into a cult. Stop. You're
not, no cults.
No cults. And you said, I'm not going to.
I said.
Not when you see.
But not where you
see. For our rogues, I thought that's AvengersPodcast.com.
Yes. cult.com/Avengers Podcast. There you go. Join our cult today. Here's some more Derek.
It really stinks because I love Marvel and I love these heroes. I love the actors and actresses that are in Marvel. And it's just like the writing and the directing that is pulling it down for me. And I hate that because they've got some great, great people in this universe as far as the actors and actresses go. But it's still so hard to have faith in them because no matter how good the acting is, if the writing's not good, if the execution of the way the rest of the movie is done outside of them is not good, they themselves cannot hold the movie up. They can definitely be the bright spot of the movie, but they can't hold the movie up on their own. And the shows, most MCU fans that you talk to will have about the same top 5 Disney Plus shows. And why? It's because there's only been about 4 to 5 solid Disney Plus shows. And then there's a major drop-off in quality. And that sucks, too. Like, I know that they're looking to do those more like TV shows, and they've hired some people to kind of change that up. So I'm hoping that that'll fix that, but I don't know. The future of the MCU, I'm worried. Because, like I said, now I'm walking into a Marvel movie almost expecting it to be kind of subpar, and hoping that maybe the movie that I'm seeing that particular time will be an outlier. And so it's kind of flipped on me here. And the directors lately and who they've talked about bringing back do not instill confidence in me. Sam Raimi.
Sam Raimi.
I do not like Sam Raimi. I did not like the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man movies. I did not think he did a good job in any of those movies. So when I heard he was going to be the director of Multiverse of Madness.
I still stand by Spider-Man 2. Fantastic movie. Spider-Man 1 was good. Spider-Man 2
one is good as well.
Fantastic.
It's Batman Begins and Dark Knight.
And Dark Knight Rises. Yes. And, yes. Yeah. Oh, that's such a great way to put it. I completely agree with that. Yeah. I like Sam.
Wait, was that him too?
No, but the second one was better than the first. Christopher Nolan. And then it was great. And then it was...
Christopher Nolan did the Dark Knight trilogy.
Oh, yeah. Sam Raimi did. I'm sorry.
He's just comparing the quality of the trilogies and how they kind of go like a bell curve.
Okay. All right. I'm sorry. I'm writing stuff down and trying to...
Swear to God. Just trust the process.
I knew that this response from Derek was eventually coming. I thought it was during one of the Avengers Assembles things we did the last month, because he said some shit was coming that no one was going to agree with. And I was when? This he didn't even it. Say something that bad last time.
Yeah. Oh, here it is. And yeah. It was
pretty negative. And I
we got
ask more. You to drink some positive tea.
All right. Here's some more positive tea. From Derek.
No, I don't think it is.
Bring it, Derek.
Multiverse of Madness. Bring it. I was like, fuck. And then he fucked it up again. And then you hear that he didn't even bother to do research into the characters that he was directing and writing for. And that
makes it a good point.
And now you want to put him as the director for both Kang Dynasty and Secret Wars?
Rumored.
Two of the biggest events
in
Marvel Comics. You're going to put that fucker in charge? Sorry. He gets me fucking heated. And I fucking hate that. Why are you putting that person, or thinking about putting that person,
just rumored,
in charge of something that's so big?
Just rumored.
These events, if you're not going to do them right, don't do them.
Not confirmed.
Okay?
Don't do it!
If you're not going to put everything you have into building
Bad Kevin.
For these events,
and Bad Kevin.
The execution of them, don't do them. The Russo brothers, someone correct me if I'm wrong here, and maybe you have some extra ones to add on here. They did the first Avengers, Winter Soldier, Civil War.
No, they did
and
not.
I'm pretty sure they did Infinity War.
They did not. They did not do the first Avengers.
Fucking amazing.
Winter Soldier,
movies.
Civil War,
and you hear these
Infinity War and Endgame. Just four movies. Four movies.
It was the three Cap movies. No, they excuse me. No, the two Cap two. Movies. Yeah. The two Cap movies. They did Winter Soldier. Yeah. Civil War and you're right, Infinity War and Endgame. They did.
Yeah,
not
they revamped Captain America as a character, and then they just get
fucking went off
being given movies.
Yeah, they were like, "Hey, since you did that revamp, do you want to put him against Tony? Hey, since you did that really cool scene at the airport, you want to take over Infinity War? Hey, since you're fucking wonderful, since these are two parters, they knew they were doing it.
Since you're beautiful,
you're beautiful, you're beautiful.
It's true."
Russo's.
I love that song, and I also love James Blunt. And anybody can fight me.
I saw that movie. I don't know what to do. I will assemble with you.
James Blunt, everybody.
He's singing different songs.
James Blunt,
available on iTunes.
Allegedly just joined the show. Thank you for joining us, James. We appreciate it.
Oh, thanks for having me. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, alleged James Blunt.
That's his real voice.
That's his real voice,
that
allegedly.
Sounds like Mr. Hankey.
That really does.
All right, well, I'm going to go have a Christmas poo. I'll see you later.
All right, James, thank you for allegedly coming on. We appreciate it. All right, back to Derek.
No problem.
Mr. Hankey, the Christmas poo.
All right, anyway, here we go.
Quotes about Secret Wars. They're like, yeah, I don't want to be near those. Those are too big of a project. And that's why those guys need to be the directors of Kang Dynasty and Secret Wars. They know how big of a project it is, how tough of a task that is. Those guys are going to nitpick everything. Sure, you may not want to do it. Kevin Feige, give them a blank check. Either give them a blank check to do it right,
yeah,
or don't do it. I don't care.
Marvel's didn't make back their budget last week. Here's a blank check.
If they are doing three Avengers movies, and I realize that's a lot of time and a lot of money, but they're going to get it done fucking right. Okay? Let them have all of the creative thinking.
And all the money.
Let them do the writing. Let them execute what they need to execute to get them done. Mm-hmm. Either that or don't do it.
Don't do
it. I
don't
know where the MCU's
going. I don't fully disagree with what he's saying. I don't.
No.
The Russos would do great.
Yeah.
But need to be them.
Yeah, I don't think it has to be
them. Sorry, I didn't know we were going to pause.
No. But I agree.
Hoping that they get a change going soon. I know this past year we've had a lot of stuff coming out, and over prior years we've had a lot of stuff coming out, and now they're going to start focusing on quality, and I hope it changes. I really do. But at this point in time, there's really not much that I have faith in. Robert Downey Jr. is no longer here for me to have faith in. Chris Evans is no longer here for me to have faith in.
Damn.
Chris Hemsworth is a great Thor.
Amon Vellani, Tom Holland. Those are two I have faith in.
So I can't have faith in his movies.
Simu Liu.
Tom Holland, I have faith in.
Simu Liu.
He's like the only hero that is still kicking out movies that I can have faith in. James Gunn and the Guardians, I have faith in, but of course they're done too. Okay, Moon Knight, Oscar Isaac, I have faith in him. Okay, and the director of Moon Knight did a great job. Not as good as
I'm imagining him with like a bucket and, just like Tatiana Maslany.
They did a great job. She-Hulk was better than Moon Knight. But Oscar Isaac.
That's a hot take. She-Hulk is better than
Moon Knight. Job in that role.
Wow.
And I would love to see him in more. But also at the same time, I already talked about it. Just because he nailed it doesn't mean that the directing and the writing won't fail him in the future. And even one of my favorite fucking heroes, and I don't know that I would trust it. And that sucks. Like, I loved Shang-Chi. I don't know that I would have faith in a second Shang-Chi movie just because recent history of Marvel has taken that away from me. I need a flip from Feige. I need a flip from the MCU. And I'm just going to leave it at that because I have talked long enough. Have a good night, everyone. I hope I'm looking forward to hearing everyone's thoughts.
Holy shit, mic drop. My goodness.
Halfway meet him on the fact that the Russo brothers would be badass in whatever they did next. I believe that.
Yes.
You know who the last two or the next two Avengers movies should go to? John Watts.
Ooh.
The director 100%. Of No Way Home.
No Way Home.
Ooh, okay, dope. Okay. Yeah.
Juggled a shit ton of characters in that movie.
Wasn't he supposed to be Fantastic Four and then he peaced out on it? I thought he was supposed to be. That's what I think was supposed to happen. I
can't remember who's directing Fantastic Four now.
I think it was supposed to be, though.
Did he peace out on it?
Yes, that's what I heard.
Somebody peace him out of it.
I wouldn't think someone would peace him out unless there was something completely behind the scenes. Because in front of the. What's happening that on paper.
Oh, No Way Home.
He's put out amazing work. And it was good.
Yeah.
It was really good. I don't think it. I don't know. And I know there was the casting and the right. There was a lot of things that were kind of floating with Fantastic Four. But John Watts, pretty sure.
Matt Shakman is now directing. And he directed WandaVision. So.
I have faith in that.
It's still in good hands.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's still in definite good hands.
I have faith in that for sure. So,
I'm down for that.
Yeah,
I knew it wasn't like that they found someone completely out of the MCU. They picked someone who'd done a successful job on something else, but I did not remember that John Watts was given it to begin with.
Yeah,
thank goodness.
I will agree with Derek's point about not liking Sam Raimi. I think that he should be banned from all MCU products. You showed
fucked up,
bad.
Sam.
Yeah, you fucked up, and you should be banned from all MCU projects from here to forever.
A lot of people liked Multiverse of Madness, though. I was looking at the audience score on Rotten Tomatoes, and it was like 85%. It's pretty...
Really?
Yeah. Multiverse of Madness is
even
not,
my most...
Yeah.
Even my most recent time watching it, I told you guys I pretended that WandaVision had like a sequel
Yeah.
Where it was like her getting into the Darkhold, and then I somehow enjoyed Multiverse better.
Yeah.
There were parts I liked that Sam Raimi definitely had his tentacles on, but
his still little thingies all in.
He still just should have just checked it out.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, 85% audience score. That's crazy. And 73% critics. Still fresh. I mean, Multiverse of Madness was not berated. I know we are on a Sam Raimi kick, and that was where we could agree with Derek, but at the same time, it is not a universally hated movie at all. Or at least the numbers aren't showing that. So
people are
interesting, Amy. They're interesting.
Interesting. That's a good word, because I was going to use some not nice words.
No, people can have their opinions. It's all save. Subjective.
I couldn't tell.
It's all subjective. It's all subjective.
It was a really nice save.
Yeah. But, yeah.
Okay. Writing and directing, pulling it down, and, like, the actors can't do anything to, like, if it's a bad story, that was a point that Derek was making, that if it's a bad story, the actors can't really do anything to pull it up. And you know what? Honestly, Multiverse of Madness might be a great example of that. That I didn't think that the story was fantastic, but the acting was not bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, the acting wasn't the worst part.
No, not at all.
At all.
I agree. No. And I think that to that point, though, there are some actors that can lift it, and they do. Maybe a subpar story, they make it into a good story, or into a good story into a great story. I think Robert Downey Jr. was incredibly collaborative. And you're saying, well, yes. Robert Downey Jr. is not in the MCU anymore. That doesn't mean that an Villani or a Tom Holland can't do that either, you know, and they're currently in the MCU, you know. And
I would even argue that Wakanda Forever had a good story, but had incredible acting that pulled it further out of script.
Felt every bit of their emotion because they had their whole hearts into it because of obviously the circumstances, but just
what they've gone through.
Fantastic movie. And great point. And I really do believe, you know, I think that the MCU will continue to surprise us, and there will be actors that will continue to surprise us and lift these stories into different ways. It does sound like with Derek, his trust has been broken with a lot of projects. He doesn't really see much of it. And truth be told, that's not too far-fetched from some folks that do watch the MCU. It's like, it's just not that, you know, until they show me something that feels, or I don't think it's even, hey, show me a good movie. Because Guardians 3, good. No Way Home was good. But I think they want the consistency again. Show me the consistency and the overall big picture and how it all ties together. And I think some of that's lost for folks. And that's what Marvel, especially taking that step back to focus on the quality over the quantity, they have to really get back to that consistency and that amazing, oh, you need to go see this movie. The Marvels, as great of a movie as it is, and I really like the Marvels, I think it's three amazing characters and a decent plot. Decent plot, but three fun characters. But if you miss the movie, are you missing anything from the overall picture and narrative? Are you? I'm not saying, you're missing a fun 2-hour movie. It's fun. It is. But people used to watch it because, how does this puzzle piece fit in the larger narrative? But also, holy shit. You should see Ms. Marvel, Captain Rambo, and Captain Marvel in this. They really dig their heels into this crazy thing. Like, I just feel like we have to get better and better at, you know, taking these three amazing characters and surrounding them with a must-see story as well. And a story, you know, worthy. Because those three have it. They have it. And once again, three actors that I think elevated, I think, an okay movie into a good to great movie. But gosh, surround that with a powerful and meaningful and deep story. Holy shit. Yeah. The sky's the fucking limit. We wouldn't be talking about $197 million right now. So,
yeah.
It's
the difference between a fantastic cinematic franchise and a collector's item.
Yeah.
And if all you feel you need to do is collect all the pieces to get the full set, then that's not saying much for each individual piece.
Yeah.
They should all be treated with the same amount of respect and the same amount of care and love. That would be dope. Yeah.
Well said.
I said that word a lot tonight. Dope.
Dope.
Dope. Fucking dope. That's ill, man.
Amy's
skeet,
the
skeet, skeet.
Don't skeet everywhere again, please. I'm so sick of
cleaning. My walls.
We have to clean. Keith's room looks like a Jackson Pollock painting. Ah, shout out Guardians of the Galaxy.
Again.
Yeah, again. We always have to clean up after the show.
Shout out to our friend
Guardians of
Jackson
Galaxy.
Pollock.
And Guardians of the Galaxy.
Imagine I just turned the light in the background blue and it's like
just
glow light.
Just straight up skeet skeet everywhere.
It was the SNL when who's the one it's not Harry Styles, but the other one. Timothy Chalamet.
Chris Farley.
No.
Yes, Chris Farley. God.
That wasn't who you were confusing with Harry Styles.
That's who I confused with Harry Styles.
Timothy Chalamet was on SNL, and they did like a skit where he was coming up with, he was like, ah, ski, ski, skeet. Oh, you capping. bro, eat. Oh, you capping, bro.
I saw that clip. It was all over TikTok. Oh, my God.
Drip, water, splash, drip, water, splash.
That's where we're at now. Oh gosh.
Yeah,
I'm
so that's where my brain lives 100% of the time.
Yeah. Well.
Yep.
Guys,
bring an umbrella.
Thank you so much for joining us, and thank you Keith and Emmy for just being willing to jump right in with me and kind of just trust the process. And thank you to our incredible listeners who reached out, shared their thoughts, both good, bad, or indifferent. I think it's always wonderful to hear from you all. So thank you so much for sharing your thoughts. And we love hearing from you guys. Overall, hey, we're going to be back reviewing the What If series a little bit later this month. So
Brandon's so excited.
Oh, cannot wait. Excited. Cannot wait. You may see something pop up on YouTube, youtube.com/TheAvengers. You know, just keep an eye out on there. You know, who knows? We're just kind of floating now. We're just kind of breezing. Next month, Echo, we'll be reviewing Echo. Cannot wait. X-Men 97 should be out quarter one, somewhere around there next year. So we'll be back with that as well. A lot of MCU content. We're not giving up. We're trusting the process, and we're going to review it all for you. So stay tuned. We'll be here reviewing it all, and we love you guys so much, and thank you for supporting us and supporting the MCU. Even sometimes when they're like, a little frustrating. I had to walk out of that movie, or, hey, I don't really trust them anymore. Or, hey, oh, yeah, it's been good. Shit, I like it. So appreciate you guys. Appreciate Emmy and Keith. I really missed talking with you guys. Thank you so much for joining us. If you want to support the show, you like the show, consider giving a 5-star rating on your podcast platform of choice. We really, really appreciate that support. And if you want to join our Patreon, patreon.com/Avengers Podcast, leave a comment. Let us know what you think next time we do an ask our Avengers question and start a podcast after it. So thank you so much. Amy, do we have any credits names to get to?
What?
That's a no.
What?
I think I broke Amy. I think her brain's just not computing. It's like, what? Didn't watch a show or movie? I don't understand the
credits. I don't understand.
Trust the process.
Trust the process.
We have our lead marketing person. Trust the process.
Trust the process. Shout out to you.
Yeah.
Dutch.
It's nice. Guys, we're going to head on out of here. Keith, Amy, any final words before we call it a show?
Derek, we're going to have some words later.
I was using this cup because my alma mater just won the MAC championship. So let me sing our fight song to you all. Love and honor to Miami, our alma mater grin. Proudly we shall ever hail thee over all the land. Fight, fight, fight. Love and honor to Miami, our alma mater. Part of that was sing joyfully, get laid, but I didn't get to that part because I forgot the music completely.